Yeah, because No, okay, that's L.A., you moron. Yes, Santa Monica is L.A., you dumb fuck. No, it is not.
I think the Ever Clear song.
Adam, would you turn on Mikey's mic? So, unfortunately, so I could talk to him. Welcome to the Matthew Aaron Show. I am Matthew Aaron. www.thematthewaronshow.com. At Matt Aaron Show on Twitter. Matthew Aaron Show on Facebook. You can like us there. Please go to iTunes and leave good, bad, whatever, but just leave comments. I don't care if they're not nice. I don't give a shit. We are here today. I just did a episode of Andy Dare's show. How was that?
Actually, I had a blast doing that. Thank you so much for having me in the basement down here. It's a good time.
When can we hear that, pal?
That's going to be airing this Saturday. So, yeah, a couple
this
days.
This Saturday?
Yep.
Very good. So you can hear everything I have to say about everyone that does this show.
We talk dirt about all the big podcasters out there.
Yeah,
now.
A little dirt about Mikey Turzo and Lenny Cannata.
Yeah. Nah, there was no dirt about you.
Nah, there was a little dirt. I think I called him fat a few times. Mikey, would you like to say hello?
Hello, guys.
Mikey Turzo. Oh, you're not on. Are you on?
I don't. Am I on?
Yeah, you're on.
Okay.
You're on. Okay. And my headphones. Yeah. No, they work. Okay. Hold on. Go ahead, Mikey.
Thank you.
Now you can hear yourself better?
No, I can't. I can't hear you guys talk either.
All right. Well, before we get into the bullshit, at 8:30, I'm going to be playing the Billy West interview that I taped last week before Corolla had him.
Yes.
I had Billy West first. Billy West, of course, famous from being on Howard Stern for many years, and he was the voice of Doug and Roger Klotz and Ren and Stimpy and Bugs Bunny and Space Jam and Elmer Fudd and Porky Pig, and he's, of course, on Futurama now. Just a great talent, and I think it's one of the better interviews we've done. I think it doesn't of course, the Ron Zimmerman interview's unbeatable, but it's in the ballpark. It's in the ballpark. So that'll be good. Mikey, how you doing, pal?
I'm doing well.
Yeah? Anything going on your end?
Just the tricep thing, trying to keep me out of the gym.
Yeah. Kind of
irritating.
That's keeping you out of the gym. And Andy, how's things going on your end?
Doing great. It's good to meet all these guys. I've heard them on the show a couple times. But, yeah, thank you so much for having me.
To the show.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Is that classy or what?
That's nice.
One podcast, you're listening to another show.
I'm from the area. It's Westmont all the way.
Yep. Westmont. Andy works at Uncle Bub's.
Uncle Bub, I roast pigs for a living in the summer. So,
Mikey, you got any questions about Uncle Bub's for Andy? Since you want to go to Uncle Bub's, try it out.
Yeah, you know, as a matter of fact, tell me about the way they smoke their barbecue.
Sure, it's like 18 hours. We got smokers actually put in the building in the back. So you walk in there, you're hit with this waft of hickory smoke. So that's the first reason why everybody likes coming back. But then, I mean, yeah, we throw a pig in there for 18 hours. Then, so it's all cooked when we bring it out on site. Then we do it for one more hour at the party, you know, get the smell going throughout the neighborhood. And then we bring them out, off with the head. I tell the guy who's paying the bill, off with the head. And then I, you know, make one cut, pull his jacket off, start pulling the tenderloin, all the mixed meats and stuff like that. Give out little tasters to the kids. Some kids don't like it. Some kids do. But it's a good time, and it's a really weird way to spend your summer, believe me.
Now, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
What do you know about smoking ribs and then wrapping them in, like, saran wrap before they're served?
I know that a little bit too personally, to be honest. But I think that's what you got to do if you're not, doing those numbers of, like, a Famous Dave's or something like that. I mean, we're still a small family-owned operated business.
I don't mean to cut you off, but does it have any detrimental effect on the flavor or tenderness or texture of the
rib? I believe it does, to be perfectly honest. I believe you get a more succulent rib when you take them right out of the smoker, for sure.
Yeah.
And that's how I know you know your barbecue, for sure. You got a good guy.
That's how you know Mikey knows his barbecue.
Well, I had a feeling. But, yeah, you definitely get the best flavor right out of the
machine.
Mikey
and I went to one of Chicago's best. What was the name of the joint?
Baby Back Blues.
Baby Back Blues. They wrap their ribs in saran wrap, and it's no good.
Gotcha.
No good. It takes all the flavor out.
It never sounded like, it doesn't make sense to me, and I never looked, it sounded like something that would be a good idea. So I was always curious. onto what kind of effect it really has on the quality of the product. Because I feel like it looks like they're doing the right thing, but the product just didn't show that the effort was put in to do it properly. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel like it is a time-saving thing. I mean, you know, we can take out 200 slabs and get it ready for Friday, get
so
it ready for Saturday.
So if we want fresh ribs, when's the right time to come by?
The best time would be
no saran wrap.
Early on in the day would be the best time to
so
come.
So like 11 a.m.?
Exactly. They're open at 11. Come for lunch, get the ribs that time. That's for sure the best time to get them.
Yeah.
Or get catering and they do it right out on site, you know, bring grills out. And all
Uncle Bubs does great catering.
Thank you very much.
Outstanding catering. They come to your house with all the grills, all the smokers and shit, and they do it right on your property.
And just for the record, we're not getting any free food from Uncle Bubs anytime soon, are we?
Who knows? They're actually a sponsor for my show. I get paid in ribs.
You get paid in ribs. I get paid in dogs.
Who knows? There might be a trickle down effect here.
We get paid in food. Coney Dog feeds me. Uncle Bubs feeds Andy. That's how we keep our shows running.
There we go.
You know, it's funny. I'm glad we're talking about food because. What did we talk about Sunday at dinner? Someone came up to us, listens to the show, and they go, look, you guys need to only talk about two things on that show. And what was it, Mikey?
Food and pussy.
He goes, that's all people care about, food and pussy. That's all they want to hear. And you know what? I can't really argue much of that. Oh, and they want to hear some shit talking, too.
Should we call him today?
I don't know. Do you want to?
I mean, I'm sure he'd really like it.
Yeah, if you want to.
I mean, only for like a couple minutes.
I'm just afraid it's not going to be a couple minutes. Do you think?
Well, I mean, you know,
call him before the interview or
call
after?
Call him before the interview.
So like, we have a way out.
We got. Well, it's not that. It's just you got to be serious. And be like, look, I got a couple minutes. I wanted to call you. I mean, we can't have him on for a half hour. But
all right, give me Chucky's number. Right. I got it in my phone, but just pull it up for me. Oh, you know what? I should do it because I'll have to have you read me the number, and
then you're in front of a
microphone.
Show you and everything.
All right. Okay, hold on. Here we go. I got it.
Is that the one?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. We are going to call a buddy of ours, Chucky, here. Not our usual Chucky, who's going to be
different.
And I hear our Chucky's coming by hammered.
Tonight?
Yes, I hear he's on his way over a little inebriated.
What was he out doing?
So let's get some sex stories out of Chuck tonight.
Drinking at the DMV?
Oh, yeah. You shouldn't say that. That's terrible. All right, here we go. We're dialing. What are you reading?
Doing
homework? Lenny, are you doing homework? What is it? A book? Are you editing Steve Weirich's book? I knew it. No more than 7 pages.
Is he not picking up?
I don't know. Hello?
I can't hear it ringing.
No,
it's done.
He didn't answer. Call failed. He didn't answer.
He pushed the bitch button on you.
You're very obsessed with this headphone thing, Mikey, to the point where you're driving me nuts. All right. Mike, you always say that. And then all it really is I don't have the headphone volume on very loud because I don't want to hear myself talk for 5 minutes.
That works great.
Okay.
Nice.
So those just legitimately didn't work for you. Now it works great?
Yeah.
You're positive?
Yeah, it works great.
All right. Okay. Mikey's headphones are good. We're back.
We're back.
Well, I guess Chucky didn't want to answer.
Okay. Now move on.
Move on. Moving on. So back to food and pussy. Oh, Luisi's here. Who cares? Hey, Luisi, did you do the talking for me today? Did you do any business for me today? You sure? I'm going to take him out back and beat his ass. Oh, wait, we have a phone call. Hold on. Hello, you're on the Matthew Aaron Show. Who am I speaking with?
Hey, it's Lee. What's up?
Oh, Lee, how you doing, pal?
Hi, Lee.
Pretty good. Who's there?
You're with Terzo and Andy Dare's on right now. Andy Dare, of course, of the Andy Dare Show.
How's it going, man?
How you doing? How you doing, Andy?
This is my co-host, Lee, my L.A. co-host.
Sweet. Awesome. Good to hear
yes.
you.
Yes.
Yes. Matt got new Lee.
Yes. Yes. So how you doing?
I'm okay. I'm about to go into a premiere of Ted at the Chinese.
Oh, how'd you get hooked up with that?
My other buddy Kyle actually has got a friend that scored it.
Ted, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
You think it'll be any good?
Well, I'll tell you something. The trailer looks, I don't know if you saw, I'm sure you saw it, but it's a great premise.
You're late.
But I think it might be a little distracting that he pretty much does the Peter Griffin voice for the bear, you know?
Okay, I can see that. I can see that. I noticed that, too.
Yeah, yeah. But the only thing, Lee, but really, I mean, that'd be like complaining that your girlfriend looks too much like, I don't know, Katy Perry or somebody. I really don't see that being
stupid
an issue.
Complaint. Yeah.
It's exactly like that.
So how's the Burbank?
I'm liking the Burbank. I'm liking the peace. I'm liking the not being crazy people walking around and helicopters every 10 minutes at night. I'm liking that.
So you like not living with Nick?
Yes, yes. That I
is
swear
there,
to
is
God.
There no mold in your house? No
house.
Random masturbation,
no knife under
belly.
The pillow.
Yeah, no knives under pillows.
Yeah. Does Mikey know that I had a knife wrapped in cloth that I was sleeping under my pillow with? Did I tell him that?
No, I don't think. Did he tell you that?
No, and you didn't put it there?
It there. It was to keep himself protected.
To keep protected in case this fucking kid killed me in my sleep, this little...
This is Lee and I's ex-roommate, for those not aware.
Why did you have
aware.
It wrapped in cloth?
Because I told Lee if he sticks his hand under the pillow on accident while he's sleeping, he could slice himself open.
Well, yeah, we wouldn't want that.
Was it like a steak knife?
A steak knife. Well, but like a pretty big knife. I don't know, maybe I used a knife that was... I should have used a paring knife or a filleting knife,
This was actually a cooking knife. It wasn't like a professional I'm going to stab you knife.
No, it's not. But I own a lot of cutlery.
A professional I'm going to stab you knife?
It's not a paring knife, is it?
Yeah.
I didn't think this entirely through, but I didn't want to wake up. The cloth was so that I didn't wake up and the bed looked like The Godfather. You know what I mean?
Did it make you feel any safer?
Well, eventually Matt and I learned that he was not going to physically hurt us. He was just going to use his presence as a constant means of agitation.
Yeah.
Even worse.
Yeah, Lee's right on the money.
Yeah.
I realized at some point he was not a danger to anyone but himself. Like most simple-minded people are.
Yeah.
Did you hear about the roommate that made his roommate kill himself because he was gay or something like that? Did you hear the news story?
Yeah, the college kid, the dorm thing. It was some was an Arabic guy or something, Palestinian guy, something like that, right? And this guy who he caught some guy having sex with another guy.
That's just kind of weird.
And he taped it and he showed it to people to drive this guy to kill himself.
Wow.
Yeah.
But that's so he could get straight A's, right? Like in that movie.
Yes, Dead Man on Campus.
Yeah.
Something tells me this guy didn't get straight A's because of it.
No, he's actually going to jail.
He's going to jail. Yeah.
That's involuntary manslaughter, isn't it?
I think wrongfully, though, man, because I don't think somebody can do that.
Yeah.
That's misdemeanor at most.
Misdemeanor?
No.
Oh.
Well, I know how
a misdemeanor, I got a couple people I want to do that to.
Granted, I would have never have been in that situation, but I will say I know how I would have handled that situation.
Oh, because you don't have gay sex. Right. Correct. That's true. You wouldn't be in that situation, but you could be in a similar situation.
You could be a roommate of somebody who does that.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Nah.
I think Mikey's I think Mikey's referring to blackmail. Pretty much.
Yeah, right.
Yes, okay.
I thought blackmail.
Blackmail. He's in the blackmail. Yeah.
My favorite group of extortion.
So have you been by the Coney dog at all?
Oh, I've been by Coney. Here's the thing. I keep missing Binder. I told you I walked out of there. I mean, I've been in there for an hour.
Radar.
Driving around, I think Binder's avoiding me. I keep seeing him.
He has a GPS under your Cadillac, Lee. And when it's in the area, he goes, Diane, I got to get the fuck out of here right now.
Yeah. Well, I was just there on Monday. And
he wants free food, Diane. I got to go.
Here's a question. When did Lee get a Cadillac?
Oh, you don't know this story. Yeah, Lee's got a caddy and you don't.
There's a lot of real old shitty caddies.
Oh!
No, but it's actually, Mikey, 42,000 miles. I got it for $3,000. It's an 87 DeVille sedan.
Real nice. That's actually...
Not a scratch on...
No, it's a beautiful thing.
That was worth every penny.
I actually like it a lot. It's
beautiful. You can run over a lot of trees with that.
Yes. It's real big, though. So when Lee makes turns, he has to be real careful. Because, I mean,
yeah.
He can just scratch that thing up on accident.
So let me ask you a question. What kind of gas mileage you get in that? Like 12?
Oh, Mikey. it's not a good story. It's not so good.
Yeah,
I brought it up to 18, which I think is about the best this thing can get.
18?
It is a V8.
An 87?
87.
Wow. 87. That is, you know, I'm just going to throw, I would say that $3,000 that you paid by our property, just the gas guzzler tax.
That was probably the gas guzzler tax?
That's probably
Do they have that in L.A.?
Oh, yeah.
It's everywhere, right?
It's probably twice
That's a federal thing, right?
Yeah.
Gas prices are plummeting. I mean, it's down to merely a notch above obscene. I don't know how it is in Illinois.
It's about $3.50 a gallon right now.
$3.50, $3.70 where I go.
Okay.
Well, look, all we're happy about is it's not $4.
Right.
Should be $2.50 in my opinion.
Did you do the math for that though, Mikey? Or?
Yeah.
All right, what's the math? I want to hear
on what?
Why should it be $2.50 a gallon? Where do you get $2.50?
Well, if you look at the price of oil compared to where it was last time, it was $2.50 a gallon.
Okay.
Yeah, that
Mikey,
good enough for me. I don't do fact checking on this show. I don't do fact checking, so it must be right. Correct, Mikey. Ding,
yes,
ding, ding.
How about this? Is there an ashtray for every seat? Like, I had an Eldorado 74 White Whale Cadillac.
Yeah.
Ashtray in every seat.
Yeah.
For sure.
How many ashtrays you got in that bad boy?
Four.
Nice.
Four. Now, is it leather or crushed velvet?
Crushed velvet.
Yeah.
Oh,
all right. Don't get it wet.
He's riding old school, man.
I love
it.
When Mikey comes out in September, October, he wants to ride in this thing.
You know, Ali, I'm just going to let you know, you should probably just move out of here.
I should probably what?
Hey, did you finally mail my keys, my storage unit keys?
I've mailed them yesterday.
Okay.
I'd
like to be able to get all my shit out of storage at some point.
Yeah, you were probably wondering what was going on. I'm sorry for that.
No, it's okay. It's okay. I know how you and I are, and I actually miss rooming with Lee. I actually miss sharing a place because we had a lot of things in common, and one of those things was we'd go to the post office once a year.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, Lee, I wanted to just let you know, Lenny's here. He wanted to make sure I said hello for you.
Hey, Lenny.
He goes, hey.
What is Lenny doing?
He's reading an article written by some moron that tried to call Chicago a second-rate city.
Oh, it is. Okay, continue.
Oh, boy.
I love how he talks that way on the show, but not when the mics get turned off.
What do I say when the mics are off?
Oh, a lot of love for Chicago.
Yeah. I'm
not going to ruin your career right now, man.
I have a lot of love for Chicago. Yeah, I do.
I like this thing where I call into the show and Matt and I just discuss our personal matters.
Yeah, well, that's all that really matters to me. I told Andy, if you want a taste of Andy's show on Saturday, Andy interviewed me, and as I told him, I first do this show to make connections. Second, I do it to entertain the masses. So that's my top priority is not to entertain right now. It's to find out where my keys are, how the car is doing, what's my story looking like. I really don't give a fuck about the people listening out there.
So, Lee, somebody wants to ask me their dad.
The people would be pleased to know that entertainment is in the top two.
Yeah, it's in the top two.
So that's good.
Yeah.
See, I wanted to play a game with you. Somebody asked me this the other day, speaking of personal issues. And so if you could describe your sex life with the title of a movie, what would it be? I'll tell you mine when you're done.
Title of a movie.
Sex life?
Yeah, good.
Tommy Boy is the name of Lee. I'm just kidding.
How about Black Sheep, then?
Black Sheep? What's your Mikey?
Mine was The Fugitive, because I knew it was here at one point, but it's gone and I can't find it.
Oh, there you go.
I thought yours was gone in 60 seconds, Mikey. I thought
that wasn't Matt. Wasn't yours 13 going on 30?
No, going on 30.
Oh, yeah, 13 going on
30. There's a movie called 13. That's about it.
13. Yeah, yeah. Well, mine ran away, and I got the marshals after it. But Tommy Lee Jones is doing that job.
What is that movie that they made with Robert De Niro a few years back? What Just Happened?
It's funny. Oh, you know, Lenny actually has two movies because they were sequels. He's been laid twice, Speed and Speed 2. And Speed 2.
He was on Cruise Control the second
Speed
time.
Speed 2 called Cruise Control, right.
Yeah,
appropriately
on,
enough.
Right, for the boat. It was on the boat. Right, right. Yeah.
It was on the boat, yeah.
Right. Well, we know what Alex's new one is. I think Adam brought it up earlier. It was a little movie called Gone with the Wind.
I thought it was Little Man Tate. No?
Or maybe Patch Adams. I don't know.
Mine would be My Giant.
My Giant?
or another one. It was called From Hell.
From Hell. There you go.
Now, Lee, you're going to have to listen to this Billy West interview when you come back from the movies.
I am, yeah. Well, I'll be on for a little bit.
You like Billy, Lee?
I love Billy. Oh, man. You don't know how much Ren and Stimpy I watch, the Subs, Futurama, I'm a big fan. I think I heard Billy West's voice more than any other voice growing up.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
100%.
How nuts were you for Ren and Stimpy?
I was nuts for Ren and Stimpy, and we were actually just watching it over at Cigars and Stripes like a week ago.
Yeah.
And Howard, I love Billy West from his days on Howard. Of course, he did all the great voices on Howard Stern. And
That to me, it
was very hard to top that, but he's had a career that pretty much matches it. That's how great Billy West is. You would think Howard would be the prime, but it wasn't.
No, it wasn't.
It makes you appreciate Space Jam a little more, too.
Yeah, it makes you appreciate it. Tom Kenny will have a long way to go to catch up to him in the pantheon of great voice people.
I tell you what, though. Living in Burbank, I've never heard so many people tell me Tom Kenny stories in my life.
Sure.
Because he's at the comic book store that I go to and Ken Hommel goes to. Ken Hommel introduced me to a comic book store we go to. And he's there, like, every day. And he's, like, really famous in Burbank. Everyone loves SpongeBob.
I've never seen him.
Right.
I know. That's what I'm saying, Lee. He's this guy.
I see Estrada more than I see
him. Mr. Show, too. Right?
Yeah, Mr. Show. Well, actually, no, Lee, Tom was at the comic book store the one day you were there.
Oh, really? And
he was in the front of the line, but we
didn't
talk to him.
Hey, I got a question real quick. Speaking of SpongeBob, do you think Krabby Patties are made out of crab, or do you think they're supposed to be beef?
Very, very interesting question there, Mikey.
My mind is blown.
Andy, you look like a SpongeBob aficionado.
Do I? Okay.
Well, most people who like the color green are. So explain to me, Krab Patties, beef? Or crab.
I'm going to say imitation crab meat.
That's good.
Now, you see, if that's the case, then I kind of want to try one. I mean, that sounds very interesting. I'm sorry.
You know what my dad bought today? He bought bratwurst burgers. Bratwurst burgers.
Can we cook one?
You can't cook one tonight, I'm pretty sure. You can come over and have dinner like a human being and, eat with my family and have a bratwurst burger, I'm sure. My dad would love to have a bratwurst burger with Mikey.
I'm just curious to see, do you put cheese on it or just?
I've actually had one before, not the kind he bought. I've had it at a restaurant before. And they're good. They're good.
Is it better than a regular brat?
It's just like eating a brat, but flat.
How about this? Bubs just did a hot link burger. We do our own hot link. We press it right in the back, too. It's,
really?
It's got a real kick to it. Then we made a patty with it. It's selling good. And you put some cheese on there. Yeah.
Are you feeling like this, Bubs?
I think you got to come out.
We
got
to go to Bubs, and we got to go to Chuck's.
Yeah. And Lily Q's.
And Lily Q's.
And the Italian French market.
The
French market for the pastrami.
That's
and the
right.
Italian joint, the Italian market that was on my phone.
Amici's.
Paluzzo? No.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
That looked like it might have been in Bridgeport.
Yeah, whatever. I got Bridgeport.
It reeked of Bridgeport. Yeah.
Speaking of reeking of Bridgeport, Lee, I really miss L.A. I want you to know that, and I will be back August 5th, I believe.
Is that a Randy Newman song or something?
Yeah.
Okay. So,
I'll be back first of August.
Love L.A.
And I think, Lee, we're going to talk about living quarters and stuff, but if it comes to it, we may be talking Santa Monica.
Okay.
There's actually very affordable rent in Santa Monica.
Where?
One of the places I was looking at. Lenny, do you have anything nice to say about anybody?
No, we saw everything was $3,000.
No. You two are retards. Both of you.
Retards.
Both of you are fucking retards.
Okay,
you know what, Alex? You know what this retard says to me yesterday? You're going to take his advice on anything? You know what his retard said to me yesterday? Alex goes, he was burning receipts, and his brother goes, why are you burning all that paper? And he goes, what are you, PETA?
PETA.
What are you, PETA?
What are you, Peter?
I'm burning all the animals here.
Oh, man. Great.
You going to listen to him about rent prices, please?
Going
to
end up.
We were talking about Compton. Thank you very much.
I think that should go in the Luisi greatest hits section.
It is in the Luisi greatest hits. Mikey was mad at me for thinking so.
What?
About him in the PETA comments. I thought that should go on the greatest hits album.
Well, what's
did you tell him? Did you tell him the comments?
Yeah, I did.
What happened?
Wait, what do you mean? With what?
With Lenny. What's going on?
Lenny's just like reading this article about the second-rate city, and he's like underlining things. I think he's going
to
come on the show and do
we're
a big
about
rant
to tag
about it.
You know what I think? I think he's taking notes, and he's going to write a dissertation to send to the publisher.
No, I actually want Lenny to come on after the interview. I want Lenny to come on after the interview. I want him to explain to the people the article, and then I want him to...
We're going
to
comment.
Okay.
All right.
Good. This is going to be a little discussion. I like that. This is cute.
We actually have a lot of discussions after the Billy West interview. This show may go into overtime today. But, Lee, I got to let you go because we're going to play that interview. I'm going to be enjoying this Billy West interview.
All right.
Thanks for calling in, pal. I'll call you this week.
Yeah.
Nice talking to you, Lee. Nice
hey,
talking.
Mikey. Everybody.
Okay, bye, pal.
Oh,
enjoy Ted.
Yeah.
What do you, oh my God, what happened? You got more like lesbian photos coming up there?
Somehow I just got a tweet from the Matt Aaron show. Hey, no.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
how
nice.
Did it with his toes.
By the way, did Lee sound like he was in a tunnel the whole phone call?
Yeah, but that happens. Skype or whatever.
Like the whole time. Well, he was driving and talking, but I'm thinking in L.A., where's there a tunnel? There's no tunnels in L.A.
It's F-Zero.
Yeah. I've never seen a tunnel in L.A. What are we doing? What are we yapping about here?
Are we at the interview?
Mikey, what are you showing me here so I can continue the show?
Yoga.
Oh. You and Mikey are taking a yoga class? All right. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm now going to play this interview. It's with Billy West. Billy West, you know, from the Howard Stern Show, Ren and Stimpy, Doug, and, of course, Futurama, Bugs Bunny, all sorts of things. Space Jam, right. So tune in. Give it a listen. And as I said on Facebook the other day, compare it with Corollas and see who actually lets the guests talk. And, I'm going to let you go. And you enjoy this interview. We'll be back afterwards to talk about Chicago. Is it the second-rate city?
No, it's not.
Okay. Well, first, I want to introduce you. This is the Billy West on the phone with us. It's kind of funny because, of course, anyone that's a huge fan of Howard Stern like I am knows Billy West. You're a legend in the Howard Stern circles. Anyone that watched 90s cartoons like Doug knows Billy West, who played Doug. Ren and Stimpy. You were Stimpy, and I think at one point you were Ren and Stimpy. Is that correct?
Yes. What happened was originally when that show was being pitched to me by the guy that created it, he wanted me to audition for both voices, and I was being coached a little bit. And we went over to Nickelodeon in Times Square over at MTV Networks, and I recorded the audition for going into those people there in a broom closet. And, you know, he said, John Kay went into the meeting with the Nickelodeon people, and he came out and he said, congratulations, what you did just sold the show. And then he decided he was going to do the Ren character. And I didn't give a dismal damn who did what, to tell you the truth. I was just glad to be doing something. And then he got fired from his own show, so I went back to doing both voices.
That's great. Let me ask you, though, how did you get involved? And by the way, we're going to talk about Futurama, which you're heavily involved with.
Yeah.
You're kind of like their ace in the deck over there. But the Howard Stern Show, okay. How did you originally with Howard Show? For our listeners, I'm 28 years old, but I live and breathe Howard Show. I love Howard. It's the reason I'm doing it now. And just, you know, give me a background of your growing up and how you ended up first starting with Howard.
Well, I grew up in Detroit, Michigan. That's where I was born. And I was a freak, you know. I was always Tourette-ing out voices and making noises, and there was nothing I couldn't do. Even as a kid, I could draw, I could paint, I could play instruments, you know. I played trumpet, and I used to write stuff, and, you know, just looking to express myself, really, and it would get on people's nerves, and so I didn't get a whole lot of encouragement. And so in school, I mean, they showed the Three Stooges every morning before I went to school. And so I had no room in my head for academia whatsoever. And, you know, and I didn't care if I did. And it's so funny. Here I grew up in America where here we are in the future, and everything that they were supposed to teach me and I was supposed to learn would serve me in no practical application way. You know, I mean, it's like everybody wants to be in show business because that's the only thing we do.
Yeah.
You know, we don't make anything. We make show business. And no wonder everybody wants to be a star and everybody wants in it. At least there's a chance to make some big money. But in the workaday world, there is zero chance of making big money.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
you know, even if you have no talent, it's like, no, I just want to take a shot at making some money at doing something. You know?
You just kind
of, because I didn't, in the workaday world, I was useless.
So you kind of discovered your talent just by your everyday, like in high school, you're like, this is all bullshit, and you're just kind of figuring out what you want to do during that point in time. When did you know that you would go into show business? Like, you're like, this is what I'm doing.
I don't think I ever consciously made that decision. I just knew what I didn't want to do. And that was work for the phone company or, you know, the post office, because I barely got out of high school. I lost interest in school. I had really good grades, and then to fit in with the rest of the dummies, I took a dive and said, the hell with it, you know, why should I apply myself?
You took a dive to be cool?
Yeah, but I still wasn't cool. I was a nerd, and I resent the fact that it's suddenly cool to be a nerd. 50 years ago, it wasn't.
Waters, like I did. I pretended I dived. Like, I was like, oh, I got an F on this, and it was like a B-plus or an A-minus.
Yeah, well, you're smarter than me. But, I mean, I was the nerd. I had 1.5 friends, you know. I started going to school in the, 1957 or something, 58. And, you know, it was a weird, rough world then. Everybody was kind of, it was a no-nonsense world. There was no room for nonsense. And I figured that's all I was about. And so I felt bad about that. But I was happy in this my own little world that I had created. And I would read comic books. And I heard a rumor that there was a kid about a mile away that had comic books. So I had to take the journey and go meet him.
Wow.
You know, and that's the way it was. And when I got out of high school, I wasn't sure quite what to do. I know that I wanted to play music because I already been playing in little bands
What instrument?
Guitar, and I sang. I had my first little band in 1966. And, you know, I played through the 60s, all the psychedelia stuff, and I graduated high school in 1970, and then I got drafted. Oh. And they wouldn't take me eventually after all this.
What happened?
After this gauntlet of, you know, people you have to go through, like the ear test and the eye, nose, throat, everything, coordination, blood tests, blood pressure. And what happened was I had hypertension.
Yeah.
And that disqualified me. Plus, I had flat feet.
So,
and I didn't have to go to Vietnam.
That was like the last test. They put you through the ringer, and then they saw you had flat feet, and they're like, sorry, this won't work out.
Yeah.
I'm sure
it might have had something to do with the fact that I worked at a hospital at the time, and if somebody had died and their nitroglycerin pills were still there on the table, I'd take them, and I didn't know what they did, so I took one, and it makes your heart beat super fast. But I didn't know how to, I mean, I already knew how to do that without any kind of pills. I could just sit and concentrate, and I could speed my heart rate up.
Wow.
So maybe that had something to do with the hypertension.
So at what point in time then so I'm sure you're not too disappointed you didn't get sent to Vietnam.
Well, I wanted to play music, and it was the worst time. My mom wanted me to go in the Army bad, you know, because I grew up without a father. I mean, I had a father in Detroit, but my mom had to take me and my three brothers and get the hell out of this house of horrors, and we moved to Boston.
Oh, wow. So it what?
So she wanted me to, you know, hut, two, three, four, you know, like make a man out of you or something.
Right. And that just wasn't something you were into. What was your band's name? What was the name of the band?
Oh, God, me and this other guy had a band called The Rebellion, because we were always shaking our fists at some generic authority. The man, the cops, you know, anybody.
Yeah.
And
Vegas.
Yeah, and I had a band called The Shutdowns. That was that was one of the last ones. And we sang like birds. There was three of us, a bass player, and there were two rhythm guitars, and we didn't have a drummer, and I wanted to call the band The Beatless.
Yeah.
You know, spell it just like the Beatles, except leave off the add an S at the end. And, you know, we didn't do it. It was called The Shutdowns. But before that, I had a band called Big Bucks, and it started out as a group called The Rogues, and that was like, we were like little dandies, you know, with the high-rise hairdo, the little English look, and it's pretty funny.
So let me ask you, you had this lifestyle. Did you go to college?
No.
So you didn't do
college? No.
What was
never got around to it. I probably couldn't get in.
Well, what was the transition for you then from making music into, you started out in radio, is that right, before Howard?
No, what happened was I just had ran my course playing music. I was getting tired of the same old thing. Plus, I was in the grip of addictions, you know, like I was a serious alcohol problem and drug problem, cocaine. So I was like high voltage all the time. But at that time, I got into radio,
yeah.
And I used to do bits and go on the air and produce my own things, and somehow it sounded great, and it worked out, but a lot of times, I don't even remember being there.
Yeah.
But I straightened out there, and this was at WBCN in Boston, an FM station,
yeah.
And that was 1980, I believe.
Let me ask you, because for me, you know, I just feel like, you know, I recently got sober myself, 8 months sober now, which is great. What was it for you that made you decide you had to get sober? Because for me it was, I didn't feel like alcohol was going to destroy me as much as I felt like I was not going to reach my potential to do whatever the fuck it is I'm supposed to do.
Right.
I kept drinking. So what was it for you where it was like, I got to cut this shit down?
It was, it just all fell apart one day. I stopped paying rent at this place that I lived, and the two guys that lived, that owned the condos took me to court. But once the judge read what was going on with me, there was a DUI I never answered for. Years ago, you know, you could commit all kinds of little stuff in different towns, and they never could interface.
Yep.
It would take forever. You'd get away with the same thing in all these little towns. And then one day with the advent of computer, you press a button, and it spits out everything on you. The guy says, I don't care about this non-payment of rent. You're doing 7 days in Charles Street Jail, which is a pissy, smelly, 200-year-old Bastille in Boston. And I spent a week there, and I did a lot of thinking. And, you know, I was sent to rehab right after that for a month. And I think, you know, it's a quick study. I got it. I got out of there, and I had stopped forever everything in 1985.
That's great. That's great. That, yeah, I mean, those are success stories. Do you feel like because you weren't really in the business at the time, you had a problem. But I was reading something today. You know Mike McDonald, the comic from Mad TV?
Yes.
Yeah, and I was reading that he came out as a bipolar manic depressive a few years ago, and now he has hepatitis C and he's really sick. But he was not getting jobs because he came out as bipolar and manic depressive. Because I know you've given an interview before where you talked about how you had an alcohol problem. Did that ever come back to haunt you in any way when it came to work?
No. For some reason, it never did. But I was working professionally in radio at the time when I was at my worst. And then after that, I went back to the radio station. And I got restless because suddenly I was able to think.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, why do I make such little money? And I wanted more money, and they gave it to me. But I had a feeling that I had done everything that I could possibly do in Boston. I had my sights on moving to New York and auditioning for big time stuff, which is what I did. But we also had that sister station, which was WXRK in New York, K Rock, and that's where Howard was. And the guy that owned the stations, Mel Karmazin, he knew Howard, but he also knew me, and he knew that I wanted to get out of there. And he says, I'll get you with Howard. Don't worry about it. And he'd be winking at me. And, you know, don't worry, we'll get you in there with him. And I started in production over there. I didn't start with Howard. I started doing the same job I did in Boston with another guy, you know, doing commercials and doing voiceovers for stuff, but also creating bits for the afternoon show. But, you know, I was being bugged to death by a program director who wanted five different things that said the same exact thing, and to try to dress them up. And it was this mind-numbing information, you know, 20 songs or you get $20,000, you know, all kinds of memes that they were trying to beat into people's heads.
Yeah.
And they'd always give away money on a Thursday. And I always wondered, hey, well, how come they always give away money on a Thursday? And it had something to do with the ratings book or something. You know, it's called Buy the Book. You can buy the book by giving away money and everybody listens to you.
So at what point did you get fed up with that and finally get hooked up with Howard?
Well, I mean, I used to go down to Howard's office and I introduced myself and I sat down in there while he was eating his breakfast after he was done with his show. And I used to screw around with little ditties and riffs and everything, and he was thoroughly entertained, and he'd start laughing. He'd have potatoes shooting out of his nose, you know, baked potato. And he's choking. He goes, oh, fuck you, Billy West. He's laughing. Fuck you. And whatever I was doing, I think I was doing impressions of Lucille Ball because she was ready to die. I was doing the old Lucy. And he says, I'm going to have Gary call you tomorrow morning at your house. Just do that. Just do that. It's on YouTube.
Yeah, yeah. Amazing. I mean, at what point did you know you could do all these voices? Because you do, like, a ton of voices. I mean, I personally, Joe Walsh. You do Robin Williams, George Takei, I remember. Bob I mean, you do everybody. Kathy Lee Gifford, Lucille Ball. When did you know?
I was like, I didn't really know till somebody asked me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never, I mean, I used to practice cartoon voices. Those were the ones I really liked, but it was like boot camp, you know. I'd kind of sit there, and whoever or whatever came up in the news just started riffing on it. It was very organic.
Wow. I think my...
And, you know, there could be Don Johnson was in the news, and I would just do a workup of whatever he was supposed to sound like. And it was quite fun, though. It was just an avalanche of comedy in the morning, and my chest would be aching from laughing all morning.
My favorite was when Howard had the Jackie puppet.
Right.
You did the voice for the Jackie puppet, right? And you and
Jackie. Yeah. So. Nobody knew what to do with it, and then I got a hold of it, and it came to life. So.
That's so great. Oh, those were some great times. I mean, if people don't already have Sirius, they should get Howard and Howard 101 on Sirius, because on the 101, they play all the old shows. And
of course.
You'll hear Billy West. Anything from like, what would you say, Billy, from like 89
to 95.
9 to 95. Anything, you'll hear him on any of those episodes. And it's so fucking funny. I die during that shit. I fucking, he's the best.
Well, we were at the height of our powers, I think, all of us.
Great.
And we worked together. It was me and Fred and Jackie and Howard, and we used to go back and write bits and, you know, everybody was saying I can't write. I used to come up with half the ideas for those bits. And, you know, and that all Jackie did was write everything I said, which is not true. I'm a performer, and I had to carry a character, and I had to riff and keep going all over the place. And then Jackie would hit me with, like, some great riff, some great joke line, and I would incorporate it into what I was doing. But we worked together.
I heard, speaking of the voices you used to and Howard, because you used to Larry Fine, I heard this movie, you kind of were coaching the guys on how to do the voices. Sean?
Yes.
Is that true?
Yes. Sean Hayes was really, really good, and he kind of got what I was doing. I also had a chance to coach with Sean Penn for like a day, but not for very long. I mean, he was studying it when I was doing it, and I said, you know, I told him, I said, you're so beyond capable of doing this. And I think he wanted to do it. It just didn't work out. Will Sasso, I know Will Sasso, and I've worked with him in cartoons. And I was Skyping him. He was filming a movie, and he was asking me everything that I knew about Curly. And I had all this arcane information. You know, it came in handy, and I gave him a couple of things that my observations, but it was the Larry stuff that I thoroughly coached Sean Hayes on, and he picked everything up right away. It was so cool.
Yeah, he was fantastic in the movie. What was it like hanging out with Sean Penn for even a day?
Well, I can always say that I got to coach Sean Penn. And a week later, he won an Oscar. See? Who will be next? Step right up.
I'm going to call you up to coach me, anything I ever do.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I only know weird peripheral stuff, so.
If I ever need to learn how to do Marge Schott, because I look like Marge Schott, so they may want to.
Yeah, but the thing that I was doing, I didn't sound anything like Marge Schott.
Right.
She's a raspy, grumbly old German lady, you know, with this whiskey voice. And to me, she wasn't impactive enough.
Right.
Her voice couldn't carry the kind of ridiculous, grotesque racism that she was doing. You know, she liked to have a few drinks, and then the interviewers would go to town on her. And it was Howard who suggested, you know, because I used to do this shrieking racist woman from Boston. We did a bit. There was a movie called Uncommon Ground, made-for-TV movie, and it had Jane Curtin in it. This Irish mother, who was screaming about the busing and the integration and all that. And I remember those voices clear as day. I worked with a woman who had that whole thing, and I worked with a black guy, and she used to come over to me when he wasn't around and go, "He scares me." You know, I said, "Why, Jenny? Why does he scare you? Why?" And she said, "Did you see them? Them big old abs?" You know, dragging across the floor, you know, and all this stuff. And he thought that was hysterical. And so that's why I did that voice for Marge Shy.
That's great. No, that is.
Yeah, everybody, people that are slow to get it, slow on the uptake, were like, she doesn't sound like anybody from Cincinnati. No kidding. No kidding.
Oh, shit, huh?
Yeah, tell me something I don't know.
Now, at that time you were doing Howard, were you also then getting the offers then? Because Doug was at the same time. So were you doing Doug and Howard and Ren and Stimpy like all at one time?
Yes.
So how did that
work?
What was like a regular day like for you?
It's crazy. I did the Stern Show 3 days a week. I'd have to get on a plane and go to California and do Ren and Stimpy and then fly back and start the week with Stern again. And just a little bit before the Ren and Stimpy stuff started, I had been doing Doug.
Yeah.
I was on two Nicktoons.
Yeah.
And Doug was a painfully average 11-and-a-half-year-old. And this is my dog, Porkchop.
You know, and then there was Roger Clark.
Hey, loser, I'm running for office, so vote for this.
And Ren and Stimpy was like, hey, Ren, will you button me?
You shut up, you fool! That's what she'll kill you!
And then I was doing the devil's work on Howard's show.
The devil's work. Well, the man.
Yeah, well, that's what people thought of it. I mean, and then it became the norm for, you know, American broadcast radio. Suddenly, every myopic program director was directing his on-air talent to be Howard and be any part of the DNA of that show. They'd have a Billy West and a Jackie and a Fred, and you know, and there were sports Howards, there were weather Howards, you know, and he was being like nibbled to death by ducks, you know, people doing watered down versions of what he had pioneered.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, the Matthew Aaron show, and myself, Matthew Aaron, I owe everything to Howard, but at the same time, I know Howard. I listen to his show. He doesn't want anyone to try to do him. So,
no.
Different thing. I don't want
what
Howard does.
His came from a point of total honesty. I mean, he questioned why. I mean, anybody with a critical mind and an intellectual curiosity, eventually he's going to want to go to somebody who's in a position of authority and go, why do I have to tell people what time it is?
Yeah.
Why? Why do I have to tell people what the weather is? Can't they just look out the window and know enough to bring an umbrella? You know, I mean, really. And
yeah.
So these were the rules of radio. You got to tell people what time it is and the temperature. He went nuts with that stuff and threw it all out the window, and that actually bothered the old timers, the old guys that, you know, they just preferred the cobwebs and the mothball smell of old radio.
Cousin Brucey's of the world.
Well, he played by the rules. He played safe.
Yeah, and
all those guys did, and they liked Howard, but they knew all damn well that they couldn't do what he did or they'd be fired. And I saw lots of young bucks get fired trying to do Howard's show, but they weren't him, and they got fired.
Yeah, yeah. Let me ask you, because then we worked on Adam Carolla's show for a while.
Yeah. Excuse me, I used to pop in.
Yeah, you'd pop into Adam. What makes Adam different than Howard? Why does it work for Adam?
I'm trying to think. I don't know. It's probably because it's more streamlined.
Yeah.
You know, there's not that many people involved. There's a couple of people. And there's, you know, a woman. He had a woman with him on radio before, and then she left, and now there's another one. And I'm going to be talking to him probably Sunday night.
Well, that'll be great. You're going to go to the studio?
Yeah, I'm going to go to the podcast studio and sit down and talk about, you know, stuff.
At Glendale, Billy, that the studio's at?
I think. I'm not sure. So, I mean, it's like, it's on the border.
I haven't been invited, but yes, I think it's in Glendale. Yes. Matthew who? No, Adam. Adam won't have me over there. I'm just blown away. But Billy, I got to tell you, your resume. And, of course, because of your past, and, you know, we have a lot in common. So you're one of my favorite guests that I've ever been on the show, honestly. because they have the coolest resume, man. And it's even stuff like this that makes me go, yeah, this is why I love Billy West. I mean, you did the Bugs Bunny in Space Jam, right?
Yes.
See, I mean, that's amazing. What else did you do in Space Jam? Did they have you just do Bugs or more voices?
Well, I did Bugs, and I got to work with Michael Jordan, the closest thing to a religious figure that we have, Doc. And I did Elmer Fudd in that movie. I also did him in the Geico commercial.
Oh, there was Elmer?
It was like, shh, be very, very quiet. I'm hunting rabbits. And the director would go, Elmer, that's rabbits? And he'd go, rabbits? And he'd go, no, rabbits. Rabbits. And then he'd get mad and he'd go, oh, this director's starting to rub me the wrong way.
That's great. So did you get to hang out with Michael Jordan at all? You get to play some basketball?
No, I met him once, and his sports agent, his agent actually, Ken Ross, he said, Billy, have you met Michael? We were on a backstage backlot party at Warner Brothers, and there's so many people, and he's being jammed left and right always by people. And I was like six people away from him. Ken goes, hey, Michael. And he looks over and he goes, this is Billy West. He did Bugs in the movie. And he reached over like six people and shook my hand. It was so funny.
And that, you know, because you don't have to, like, Michael doesn't have to record any voices, so he probably didn't get to see many people. I don't know if he saw Danny DeVito even. He saw Bill.
No.
He saw plenty.
I missed him in the studio, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so too. You know what you did that was also great that I thought? You and the cast of Futurama, didn't you do the Star Wars radio play?
We did that somewhere at a convention.
It was awesome.
I know, but I wanted to get the hell out of there. I don't know if it's obvious or not, but I didn't think anybody was into it. You know, I mean, because I said, I don't want to read a 3-hour in real time movie.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I got to get out of here at some point. And so I was playing along and I just thought it was going nowhere. And I started getting bratty and I said, look, a bit has a beginning, a middle and an end. You know, I said, where are we going with this? And then we were into repeating the voices, and he said, okay, now Billy, you're going to do this as this character. And I said, how about no? You know, how about I do what I want? Kind of co-opt funny and wacky, you know? So I got into 10 years too late. I even said it. I said I was doing a Tony Soprano impression for one of the characters, and I go off the deep end, dropping the F-bomb everywhere.
Do you get annoyed doing those conventions? Because I go every...
No, not at all. I love going there because I got to thank everybody personally for bringing the show back.
That's great. That's great because that's why I love going. I love going because I got to tell you, most of these guys at the conventions are great.
Mm-hmm.
And then you run across like an ex-wrestler or something with the jag-off. But...
Well, I've run across a couple of wrestlers that seem pretty cool. And I've met a lot of people that are, you know, either on TV or in movies or have been on TV or have been in movies. And everybody's been really nice, but the fans are super nice to me. I mean, I get love bombarded, and I'm so happy for that, and I'm glad what I do is something they like. And, you know, and it's like, what are the odds of that, you know, when you think about it, a billion to one.
Right.
And I know that I'm very, very lucky, and I thank those people profusely, profoundly, prolifically.
You and, like, Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill ever all get together and, like, play cards or something?
No. No, I've socialized with a few people that I work closely with, like Futurama. We've been together on a couple of occasions.
Like, and... Have you met Kurt Suter? Have you met her husband?
I don't think so.
Oh no. Oh, okay. Because he's kind of crazy. I wanted to hear about Kurt.
Oh,
great, right?
Well, I'm not as crazy as I used to be, but you know, when I'm performing, I turn it on 1,000%. You know, I love recording.
But who do you really love? Like, on that Futurama cast, did anyone surprise you with how good they are? Did anyone just... Because, you know, it's such an eclectic group of people on that show. Like what's it like working with that cast for you?
Well, Katie, you know, I got a crush on Katie. I kind of always had. And I love working with her, and her voice is just so sweet, but she can be tough and everything. And she's, I said, one day, Katie, you've never not been a star. You know, what's it like? And she's just so down to earth and so normal about everything. And Maurice, I knew he was a powerhouse, and I knew he was capable of pulling anything out of his rear end, you know, when he had to. And I was surprised, like, I didn't know Dave Herman.
Yeah, Dave Herman, oh, what a talent. I love him.
I know, but I didn't know him, and I hadn't worked with him. And when I found out just how funny he was, when he even had, like, two lines or like, three words, he could knock you down dead laughing with the way he'd deliver it. It's a work of art, really. And then John DiMaggio, when I first met him and worked with him, I was impressed. And I also said to him when we went to go sell the show to the advertisers and all the sponsors, and the press corps was out asking, you know, about the show, and we were going to premiere it, and we were in a limo, and I said, Johnny, take it all in and just enjoy it, because it's going to be like a blur. It's going to be 10 years later, like as soon as we get out of this car, I promise you. And that's the way it was.
Everyone,
you know,
loved
it. I'd already been through it with Ren and Stimpy.
DiMaggio, his career just lifted off.
I know. And I told him, even then, I looked at him, I said, you know, you're going to get a lot of work out of this. You're going to be a big deal. And I was right.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone just knew.
And Phil Lamar, great, great voices that he does. You know, it's just, it's astonishing. And then Tress MacNeille, I mean, she's like the consummate voice artist. I mean, I consider her to be the best, really.
Yeah. The only thing is, with your career, the only thing that was missing for me where I'm like, oh, I can't believe these paths didn't cross. One of my favorite shows ever is King of the Hill.
Mm-hmm.
How did Billy?
I did one.
Did you? Which one?
Yeah, I did an episode.
Wait, I didn't know this. Which one?
Yeah, I was working with Burt Reynolds.
Really?
Yeah, and I played a guy from Boston who wanted to have the full Texas experience. You know, I was interested in doing business with Hank's boss.
Oh, Mr. Strickland.
Yeah, I think, or for some reason, Burt Reynolds was on there as somebody important. And he was going to give me the Texas experience, you know, take me to the Longhorn Steakhouses and take me to, the sports teams and...
Yeah, he played Thatherton, right? I think Thatherton was the guy that has the propane place across the street from Strickland.
Yeah, and I was the guy from out of town and looking to do business with them. And I was also on an episode of King of the Hill. It was like the La Grunta Inn. It was like they stayed, instead of La Quinta, they call it La Grunta.
Oh, was
it a dolphin in the water? And
the dolphin molest Hank, yes.
Yeah, the dolphin molest Hank. And I can't remember if I was the dolphin or one of the guys.
Oh,
incidental characters.
That's great. Hey, you know, and then you did some Drawn Together, too. And this was a show that was really ballsy, I think, the Drawn
mm-hmm.
Together. Now, how were you able to do Stimpy on that show, like, without him getting in trouble and stuff? Because I know you did Stimpy at one point. I think you did Popeye.
No, the Stimpy, it was a character that looked like him, but I don't remember doing the voice for that character.
But you yes, then.
I might have done something, but it was okay to do Popeye.
Yeah.
For some reason. I mean, that's their legal problem. It wasn't mine, and I said, okay, you know, I'll do it.
And you know what the other show was that I know, I remember you did, you played Bipolar Bear on Queer.
Oh, that was a web show called Queer Duck.
Queer Duck, yeah, with Mike Reese. Mike Reese created that show, and he did, of course, The Simpsons and The Critic. And
the Bipolar Bear was Paul Lind kind of voice.
Really funny.
He's because... like, you know, honey, I'm home, you know, and it's like, how's the rat race going? The rats are winning, you know.
Now, for you, though, Billy, I don't know how you feel about this, but I feel like a show like Queer Duck would never get on TV nowadays.
I don't know. I don't know this country anymore. I thought we crossed all this shit, you know? I thought all these battles have been fought, you know, in the 50s. Like, you know, why everybody's so uptight about certain subjects. I thought that it was over. It's 2012, you know? I grew up in the 50s. And here we are. There's always these uptight young adults. I don't know where they come from. They're just born old.
You know,
30-year-olds that are these starched collar, you know, conservatives, and they listen to old music. You know, they listen to Celine Dion. I mean, people in 30s listen to that kind of music. You know, I said, when is it going to be my world or people that were my age? And it just never happened. There was always, like, young old farts around running everything.
Oh, I got to tell you, it for me, it's like, I think Queer Duck flew under the radar because the gay marriage thing wasn't a big issue in like 04, 05, 06. I think
right.
If now, the news program that night and the right media would be blasting it.
There's somebody always available to do the blasting, you know, for you.
There's always someone available, yeah.
There's always some group available trying to make some noise.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I was in New York, and when I first moved to New York, the pipes were exploding because they were 100 years old already, and they just decided to all go at once, and there was nothing but plumbing and sewage emergencies. And so all of a sudden, this little group pops up, this courageous little group of adults, and they were Parents Against Lead in Schools, CALS. And they were interviewed on the news, and it was the first time any of these people had a microphone in their face, and they grasped it, and they wouldn't let go of it, and they're screaming, you know, we don't want lead in the schools. And I'm saying to myself, lady, who doesn't? You know, who doesn't? Well, it wouldn't, you know. And they had letterhead paper. It was a way for people to feel powerful. They pit themselves against something.
Yeah.
But they'll come up with the easiest targets in the world.
Yeah, I agree with you. Now, you know what I was wondering, though? Do you give a shit about actually being on TV, or do you just, you're cool with doing voices? You don't really give a shit about the fame and everything, I would think.
No, I mean, I never did. I never understood the fame or the celebrity thing. Fame, I understood. But the celebrity thing and the being immersed in it and people changing that you knew and then they become famous and then they become incorrigible, you know, like subhuman behavior. I never got it. I never was interested in being celebrated. My heroes were artists. That's why. They weren't celebrities.
Yeah.
My heroes were musicians and poets and writers and, you know, sculptors, painters.
That's great.
Like that. And they weren't celebrities. So, you know, celebrities don't mean a damn to me.
That's great.
And making money. Who knew? You know, I mean, I never dreamt you could make any money doing these things that are the rewards of a misspent youth. You know, I had no idea. And I'm just nothing but grateful that for some reason I've always been involved with these edgy things that people went nutty over. And, you know, I think it's partly luck and it's partly skill and expertise and everything, because I really do work at what I do. But when they hire a celebrity to do an animated character, it invalidates what people like me do for a living.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't have the luxury of bringing exactly who and what I am to every project. They want you to create a character that hopefully people will remember forever. And so there's alchemy there. That's why cartoon was magic. It was this person who sounds nothing or acts nothing like the character they're going to do in this thing and not even sound like them. And you know, the lead bar on the table that the producers have you look at, you leave and it's gold after you leave. You did the alchemy. when a celebrity comes in and the bar stays lead after they leave. There was no alchemy. There was no change. You know, it's like, I mean, it must be amazing to walk into a room. We got this cartoon character. It sounds exactly like you and looks exactly like you, and we were thinking of hiring you.
Yeah.
You know?
Let me ask you this. Do you feel like there's a a disconnect when there's a movie or a television show and the character is, you know, played by like Shrek, it's Mike Myers and Eddie Murphy, or
well, I got to qualify a couple of things here. There are people who were designed to do that. Mike Myers understands what it's like to change his voice or to change accents, or he understands what it's like, and so does Eddie Murphy. Understands characterizations vocally, how to change up. Robin Williams, I mean, he's a master at that. You know, at least they try.
Yeah.
To come up with something that will suit the animated purpose. But those are the exceptions I make. There's probably a couple more out there that I just haven't been exposed to, but you know. When they hire,
like,
Mickey Minaj or whatever her name is to be a cartoon character, game's over. You know, how is some 19-year-old who is like a firebrand with voices, and they probably never get a chance to be seen because of that new screwy system, you know? It's like, I'm not bitching for myself. I've done everything I wanted to do.
Yeah.
It's like, who's going to speak for anybody?
Yeah. No, that's great.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not scared of anybody.
No, that's great. I mean, you know, Mark Hamill, who knew he'd be so good?
He's really good.
Voice character acting. He's great.
Yes, he is. But the celeb thing, there was never any evidence when it started that the theater would become more populated with audience if there was a name, a celebrity, than if they let artisans and craftsmen do it.
Yeah, I just never understood stunt casting like that for a cartoon.
Well, they've come to understand that ever since CGI movies have come out, they're hot. People go see them because they're CGI movies. And if all of a sudden those become the movies that make money, that's all they're going to make. Meanwhile, you don't want to lose your precious star system because they don't make a whole lot of live-action movies anymore.
Right.
And most of them are going to be CGI, so you throw them in those, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree. Alex Luisi, you got a question for Billy.
Hi, Billy. I had a question. The guys you guys named up, Mike Myers.
I'm sorry?
Mike Myers, Eddie Murphy, and those guys you named up. Do you guys think you guys are kind of a dying breed? Like, you know, you see the Nicki Minaj and all them, you know, doing these voices for cartoons, you know? I mean, really nobody.
I don't know. I don't see it ever going away very soon. I guess I can at the right time. It's probably the tail end of where you could become a really respectable multiple voice character actor.
Yeah. What for you though, where is the future of animation going? Like your work, Billy. Where is the future headed? Are we going to head to where there's going to be an explosion of animation and more jobs for everybody? Is there going to be more web content? Like, because I'm not as in tune with animation as I am with film and television. So what's the future like for you guys?
The future is always unwritten. At any point in my life, it was totally unwritten. It's just I would keep trying to do what I do that makes me happy. And if I couldn't do this and I still felt like I wanted to contribute, I'd be writing or producing cartoons, which I'm already working on. I'm working on a couple of projects of my own, getting into development. And plus, I play music. I was a musician. I always loved to play music and sing. You know, so I could always do something.
Yeah.
But with the future of it, I mean, it could be beautiful. I could keep doing, you know, really great, great shows. And put the right people in them and have them serve the story and not some political purpose, you know, like stunt casting. And
yeah.
I really don't know. I know there's nothing but talent. There's so much talent out there. And I don't mean just the business. I mean across America. I've seen incredible artists, unbelievable artwork, so skilled, you know, and I hope these people get to use their skills. I hope they get hired. And because they all bring something to the table.
You know what?
That's all I ever wanted to do. That's why I got into it.
Yeah. But do you have a convention coming up that you're doing?
I'm going to Miami next weekend.
Okay. You're going to go?
And there's a Comic-Con there. And I think that's it for a while. And then the big Comic-Con in July in San Diego.
Yeah, you're going to be doing that one. Is Futurama doing a thing there? Or just...
Yeah, we're all going to be down there. We always come and show clips.
Right.
Of new stuff.
I'd get a big turnout for that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's crazy. Like, you're standing behind the stage, they introduce you, come out, and there's 5,000 people sitting there. You know, and it's like, oh, my God. It's like David Byrne, you know? And you may find yourself standing and talking about nothing in front of 5,000 people. You know, my God. How do I work this?
That's my favorite Talking Head song.
Yeah, you know. This is not my beautiful career. You know, you have no idea how it happened. It just grabbed you, and you had to go with it. It's not like I chose every single thing I was going to do. It's like it chose me, and it just grabbed me, and I had to go wherever it went.
Great.
I took my chances, too. You know, I didn't have any great jobs or nothing like that, and I didn't get married. I mean, I didn't think that I'd be a good husband or a good father because I knew I was going to have to spend all my energy digging and crawling and scraping, you know.
I feel the same way about that. I'm the same way about marriage. I don't even want to get a relationship at this point.
Statistics say that it won't work, so, you know, maybe that'll make it easier for you in your judgment.
Yeah, I know ahead of time it won't work. You know,
I'm 60 years old. What am I supposed to do? Go on a date and go down the street and, you know, go to a movie and have dinner and that's it. I want an adventure. So when I save up some money and I get some time off, and I'll go over to Italy, you know, because when I'm at conventions in Europe, you meet all kinds of girls from different countries, and they give you the Skype numbers. You know, that's the cool thing. You can go, hey, do you Skype? Yes, I do. You know, and then next thing you know, you're Skyping each other for a couple months, and you go, why don't we meet somewhere? And bang, there you go. You're suddenly meeting somebody over in Milan, and they're the best times of my life, really. I mean, it's an adventure, and the world. You better go see it because before you know, every square foot of it at a time is like a bad time to go.
When you
know what I mean? Like, I think we'll go to Greece, and all of a sudden, Greece has no economy. And, you know, let's go to France. No, there's rioting. You know.
Yeah, there's always problems.
So I try to go whenever the crap stops.
You take a break, you check the world news, and you fly over.
Yeah, exactly. Let's meet.
Oh, man, that sounds like the life, though. 60, single, you're just meeting these broads at all these conventions. Ooh.
Yeah, I know. And luckily, I look pretty young for my age, you know. But if I look my age, it would be disgusting. It really would. But you know Don LaFontaine? You know who that was?
Yeah, the
trailer. He died recently. He was the movie voice trailer guy. He was one, you know, in a world. One man. Time is running out. You know, he was that guy. And he passed away not too long ago. And he was like, he was an adventurer. And I said, what about the girls, you know? I mean, how do you know if this is the kind of thing you should be doing? He told somebody that I heard it from, the girl will tell you when you're too old. Don't worry.
That's great.
Yeah, she'll tell you when you're too old, if you're too old.
Oh, that's really good. So what happens, like, so these girls are all like fans. They're like uber fans of yours.
Yeah, but some of them just kind of show up at these shows, and like there were two of them that had no idea who I was, and I love that. And then I got to tell them later on.
Do you now? Let me ask you this, because do you smoke because of your voice? You know, you have to use your voice for everything. So you don't smoke cigarettes, do you?
No, I never did. I did everything else.
So you keep your voice though in like you have to keep it in like good shape, like pristine shape. Is there like stuff voice actors do to keep their voice good?
I'm sure there is, but I've never really, I never thought of it that way. I just would always go and do it, and if I couldn't do it, I would just say, "Oh crap, I got to figure out a way to do it anyway."
You know what? Futurama, of course. Futurama airs this upcoming Wednesday, 10/9 Central on Comedy Central. It's back. How many episodes are you guys back for?
Oh God, it's probably going to be up 13.
Great, and then you think
we did the premiere was last night.
Oh, yeah.
Two episodes back to back, and they were beautiful. Oh, God, I just love them.
And what do you think for, is there going to be another season?
I'm hoping. You know, I mean, we always have to go through this every time the 2-year pickup is over, and we got to wonder if we're going to have another 2-year pickup or a year pickup or whatever. And we just wait and see. But
you go make a movie. They have all those Futurama movies they make here and there.
No, I think that they just got to wait and see what they're going to do with the TV show, and then we just go back into work again. And I hope I do, because this was my favorite project that I ever worked on.
No, I think it's a great show. Matt Groening, of course, is a creator of the show. How come you haven't been?
Yeah. I'm sorry?
How come you haven't been on The Simpsons? He hasn't, like, brought you over.
I was mimicked on The Simpsons.
Yes, you were. Yes.
Somebody was doing Ren and Stimpy, and almost, it was Hank Azaria and probably Phil Hartman or something.
Now, you
but
and
Matt was great. I mean, I how am I going to know that he knew who I was? And I never assumed stuff like that. And he did know, and he was a fan. And I said, well, I kind of know who you are too. You know, and then to have this honor to go audition for the second show he's going to do, and I wound up with all these parts. I was thrilled out of my mind, you know?
Yeah.
And Fry voice was me at like 25 years old. Because I was very whiny and always asking, you know, questions like, when are we going to do this? And, you know, that kind of thing. And then Zoidberg. I mean, all these characters were so much fun to try to come up with. And, you know, he was marble mouthed and he had all that junk hanging off his face. And I figured he would blah, 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 you know? We like this, and so there were a couple of old movie actor types, vaudevillians, that had a marble mouth, and I sort of cold fused them, you know. Young lady, bring me a sandwich from the dumpster. Go eat garbage. Why not? It's free, you know. And then Professor Hubert Farnsworth was like a combination of every doddering wizard or inventor. That I can remember, and it's all of them at once, you know. Yeah, good news, everyone. Yeah, bad news. And then there was Zap Brannigan, who was based on a lot of disc jockeys I worked with in the old days. These big dumb announcers, I used to call them. You know, because every one of their precious words had to fill the air and keep filling the air. Eh? You know, and that's what Zap was all about. Kiss. I let them in. I've made it with a woman.
You feel like, because I've had this conversation with people, and we kind of feel like you have, in a way, replaced, well, not replaced, but kind of like you kind of helped the industry once Phil Hartman unfortunately passed.
Yes.
You're both very, very funny guys. Has anyone ever said to you, like, how much your talent reminds them of Phil?
Well, Phil Hartman was supposed to do the voice of Zap Brannigan. And I knew Phil Hartman. He called me up when I still lived in New York. He called me out of the blue. He was working on a show called News Radio. And my wife took the call, and I got home. I was still in New York. And she said, you're not going to believe this. Phil Hartman called looking for you. He wanted to say hi. And I was like, you know how many people I know that could pull an elaborate joke off like that? Maurice LaMarche or any of them. And she said, no, it was him. And he was on the set of the radio show, I mean the TV show, News Radio. And he said, he got your number from somebody who knows you, and he wanted to talk to you. And so I called back, and there he was. And he just want to say, I just think what you do is great. And I said, well, God, back right back at you. You know, you took the sparks plugs to that old car, you know, Saturday Night Live when you left. And he said, you know, I think you ought to move to California. Everything for you is out here. And he said, if you do, I'll help you get acclimated. I mean, I couldn't have talked to a more generous, more secure individual. And we talked about our love of Big Dumb Announcers that we had in common. And, you know, he had his take on it, and I did. But then when he passed and they asked me if I wanted to do Zap Brannigan, I was still hell-bent on doing, you know, like the Big Dumb Announcers, but it was almost like I was trying to do it the way Phil would have done it.
Yeah. Well, I think that worked out pretty well. I think you did a great job with that. But you were saying how you thought maybe there were people calling you. It wasn't Phil. It was some elaborate prank. Do you guys ever prank each other, like calling up each other as other voices or anything? Or
We used to do it when we were younger. I mean, like 10, 12, 13 years ago, Maurice LaMarche would call me up and try to fake me out. And I called Robbie Paulson once as Tom Green, and he thought it was Tom Green calling him.
Oh, Alex had a question for you. Stupid or not, so hold on.
When you're ever shopping or anything, you get up to the line, do you ever just, when they ask you questions, you just go off in some random...
Does he just make funny characters
up as
you shop?
Yeah, talking to random people.
All right.
What do you mean, like out and about?
When you go to the Ralph's.
You're at the coffee shop, you know, the Elmer.
Oh, right. No chance. I don't want any undue focus on me. I've had stalkers, believe it or not.
Stalkers? Oh, man. Were they?
Yeah, they always want somebody who's somewhat famous. They don't ever go after the guy up the street that saw his wood, you know?
Never go after Mooney.
You can't go fixate on him or the kid who is waiting on tables at the Italian restaurant. No, you can't fixate on him. It has to be somebody in show business.
I have all the old women stalking me.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, I got the 45-year-old broads on the internet.
Them petrified old eggs.
They all listen to the show. They all listen to the show, and I know why they listen to the show.
Did you ever see Play Misty for me?
I
want you to play Misty for me.
Yep.
Why, sure.
I got to say, you got a great lifestyle, though, because, like, most of America, if they saw your face on TV, they don't know who you are. But if everyone heard your voice, they know who you are. You're like the...
Yeah.
21st century here, and the best part is, so you have like all this success and all this talent, but like with women, you can like you get away with a lot.
Well, I don't know about that. I'm a gentleman, you know. I'm old school. I was raised by a woman. I'm evolved. I leave the seat down.
Being in show business, but not being like in show business, like you won't be on TMZ. They're not going to follow you on a date somewhere. But you are kind of like a king. You do.
I was just more important than anything to me was going to work. I have an immigrant mentality. You know, it's like come from old Irish and German families and. Only old Irish guys, you know, if they saw me sitting around for a couple of days doing nothing, you know, it's like, don't you think you ought to get your ass up and go do something? You know, it's like, you had a chance to work 18 hours a day and you didn't do it. What are you, stupid? You know, I have that, you know, that immigrant mentality that if I don't do the right witty little voice that day or something, I'll come home and my house will be beamed up, you know, gone somewhere.
What's the piece of advice you have for people that want to be up-and-coming talent like myself or other people out there? What is your pieces of advice that you have for people entering show business?
Well, there's new types of media always being created, whether it's games or movies or television. And a lot of stuff still does need voices, like voices for toys or you know, on the web, there's a lot of stuff that gets done where they have paid people doing voices for things. And hopefully there'll be more shows where people who do voices can be, you know, applied. I don't know where it's going. I do know that show business in general is, excuse me, a business of 95% unemployment. and your job is looking for work. But like I said, you know, I took my chances, and it's
and
cold out there alone.
It worked out.
But I would go get, if you feel like you have talent. I've seen people with talent on the road. They'll do voices for me, and I go, oh, God, that's just adorable. That's so beautiful. And then I'll recommend things like, you know, get comfortable with your reading. Just read anything. Say anything. It doesn't matter if the words mean anything or not. Just keep going in a character. See if you can keep something going and stay in the character and practice your reading. And I would say it doesn't hurt to take an acting class.
Yeah.
And then you go to a recording studio. Most of the engineers these days knows how to put together a demo for you, a voice demo. And then you usually can't stay in, you know, Bangor, Maine, if you want to be in show business. You know, I was in Boston, and that's not exactly the showbiz capital of the world. So I had to move to New York eventually, where all the stuff was. But it was all scary, but it was all the way it was supposed to be. I mean, when I look at it, it was all, everything went the way it had to go. I've had success never taught me anything.
Right.
It was only failures that I learned from and taught me things that I'd remember forever. And the other thing is getting an agent, you know, if they find someone interested in you via the tape and you can get an appointment. And if they feel that they can make money off of you or they can send you up for auditions and you might get parts and stuff, then, you know, hopefully they'll sign you. And it's, you know, it's just like, it's a real journey it's easier to go it alone. I know people that are guys that are brave, you know, they have young families and, you know, young wives, and they're starting out, and then the guy says, I don't know whether to quit my job or not. And I said, oh, Jesus, you got a lot at stake. You got to think about that.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's like where there's a will, there's a way. I mean, if you're not irrational and you find a way to be able to kind of do everything, by all means do it. I mean, this is the time of life. If you're in your late 20s, early 30s, that's when you're at the peak of your energy.
Especially, and it's the way the world is today. He's all fucked up, everything. Might as well go do it now. Go give it a go.
Well, you know, I've been thinking about that a lot. I know.
Oh, you know what? You can put it down. Hold on. Hey, Adam. Adam, I'm glad I know when the show's back on.
Hello.
I accidentally clicked off the rest of the 2 minutes of the interview.
Well, folks, if you want to hear the rest of the interview, you can download it from iTunes and finish it. We just want to leave you on a cliffhanger
here.
It's
just so much work for me to bring it back up. And
what are you doing to this guy?
I don't know.
I almost wanted to call him Adam West for a second. I'm not going to lie.
Should I fast forward to the last couple minutes?
Yeah.
People probably want to hear it,
guys,
right?
Guys, we're still here. Just want to let you know we haven't even left. We didn't go to Dairy Queen or CVS or anything.
Heck yeah.
Okay, hold on. How about...
Can you play Misty for me?
No. That's not it. I want...
David, I want you to play Misty for me. Why? Sure.
I think we already heard this.
You've got a great
lifestyle, though, because... Like most of America, if they saw your face on TV, they don't know who you are. But if everyone heard your voice, they know who you are. You're like the 21st century here. But and the best part is, so you have like all this success and all this talent. But like with women, you can like you get away with a lot.
Well, I don't know about that. I'm a gentleman. You know, I'm old school. I was raised by a woman. I'm evolved. I leave the seat down.
In show business, but not being like in show business, like you won't be on TMZ. They're not going to follow you on a date somewhere. But you are kind of like a king. You do.
I was just more important than anything to me was going to work. Like I have the immigrant mentality. You know, it's like come from old Irish and German families and. All the old Irish guys, you know, if they saw me sitting around for a couple of days doing nothing, you know, it's like, don't you think you ought to get your ass up and go do something? You know, it's like, you had a chance to work 18 hours a day and you didn't do it. What are you, stupid? You know,
oh.
I have that, you know, that immigrant mentality, that if I don't do the right witty little voice that day or something, I'll come home and my house will be beamed up, you know, gone somewhere.
What's the piece of advice you have for people that want to be up-and-coming talent like myself or other people out there? What is your pieces of advice that you have for people entering show business?
Well, there's new types of media always being created, whether it's games or movies or television. And a lot of stuff still does need voices, like voices for toys or you know, on the web, there's a lot of stuff that gets done where they have paid people doing voices for things. And hopefully there'll be more shows where people who do voices can be, you know, applied. I don't know where it's going. I do know that show business in general is, excuse me, a business of 95% unemployment, and your job is looking for work. But like I said, you know, I took my chances, and it's cold out there alone.
It worked out.
But I would go. I would go get. If you feel like you have talent, I've seen people with talent on the road. They'll do voices for me, and I go, "Oh God, that's just adorable. That's so beautiful." And then I'll recommend things like, you know, get comfortable with your reading. Just read anything. Say anything. It doesn't matter if the words mean anything or not. Just keep going in a character. Just see if you can keep something going and stay in the character and practice your reading. And I would say it doesn't hurt to take an acting class.
Yeah.
And then you go to a recording studio. Most of the engineers these days knows how to put together a demo for you, a voice demo. And then you usually can't stay in, you know, Bangor, Maine, if you want to be in show business. You know, I was in Boston, and that's not exactly the showbiz capital of the world. So I had to move to New York eventually, where all the stuff was. But it was all scary, but it was all the way it was supposed to be. I mean, when I look at it, it was all, everything went the way it had to go. I've had, success never taught me anything.
Right.
It was only failures that I learned from and taught me things that I'd remember forever. And the other thing is getting an agent. You know, if they find someone interested in you via the tape, and you can get an appointment. And if they feel that they can make money off of you or they can send you up for auditions, you might get parts and stuff, then, you know, hopefully they'll sign you. And it's, you know, it's just like, it's a real journey it's easier to go it alone. I know people that are guys that are brave, you know, they have young families and, you know, young wives and they're starting out. And then the guy says, I don't know whether to quit my job or not. And I said, oh Jesus, you got a lot at stake. You got to think about that.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's like where there's a will, there's a way. I mean, if you're not irrational and you find a way to be able to kind of do everything, by all means do it. I mean, this is the time of life. If you're in your late 20s or early 30s, that's when you're at the peak of your energy.
Especially, and it's the way the world is today. He's all fucked up, everything. Might as well go do it now. Go give it a go.
Well, you know, I've been thinking about that a lot. I know that everybody wants to be a reality star because it's your quickest ticket to show business. And in that is also the possibility or the feasibility somehow of that you actually might continue working and you might actually make a lot of money. You can't say that about any other job that we're all prepared for to grow up and be adults in this country. You
true.
Just can't.
No, it's absolutely true.
And so that's why I realize everybody's going to animation college. You know, they want to learn how to animate with computers because the only business that seems to be thriving and also appears to be recession-proof is show business.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy. It's the only thing we make.
Yeah. Yeah, you're.
Send everything else away, you know. The Chinese, the Japanese, and the Indians, they can't make entertainment like we do.
Yeah.
So that's here to stay.
This is the only business where, on a foreign scale, they actually want our product.
Well, because the corporations that used to hire us, have gone and have determined that the new consumers of the world are the Chinese and the Indians, and where are they going to get cheap labor from? So you start right in. You break up the unions. You've got the education system. You want robots that will work for nothing all day and every day.
Yeah.
And that's why things are turning crazy in this country.
Yeah, I agree.
But, you know, I mean, I know it's always been tough, no matter what times were like. I mean, times were never what I would call fabulous, you know, at different points in my life. I mean, you know, I mean, my family was so dirt poor. My dad, he couldn't. He only had jobs. He never had a career. He would just, you know, one day be delivering beer on a beer truck, the next day be driving a dry cleaning van, you know, and it was like that was his life. And he, you know, he had some talent. He used to play drums, and he had a little combo that he would play music with, but he'd spend all his money on booze and go get a pizza and leave the crust on the table. And I wake up in the morning, I go, I've never tasted pizza in my life. You know, we were living out of a can, and my mom took me and my two brothers to Boston. We had to get out of this nut house because he was nuts, and you know, it was tough. We were on assistance and everything, and my mom had to go to school to learn how to do something, and you know, so I think more than anything, a survivor aspect was very strong within me, and
yeah.
And that was the discipline that I took on rather than the discipline of formal education. And yeah. I'm very thankful.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I think that's a great attitude, too. And I know what I'm going through right now is I'm like, you know, I'm fearful that I'm going to end up in a way like your dad where I'm just working jobs and I don't have a career. And I build up this career for myself, and I've been doing this 16 years. I turned 29 in August.
He did it to himself. He was promising. He went to Cass Tech, which was a technical school in Detroit. You know, and he could have had a good paying job and everything, but he effed it up for himself, you know, by being a nut. But you didn't do that. I mean, this was done to people here. It was deliberately engineered to happen.
No. I hope I don't screw it up for myself. And Billy, I gotta tell you, it's a real pleasure talking to you. I hope we do get to meet.
Likewise.
I hope we do get to meet each other and have another conversation, because I really had a, this was very insightful for me and very fun at the same time. And I'm so happy for your success. I'm so
thank
happy
you so much. I enjoyed talking to you, and you know, there's so much stuff to talk about, but, you know.
Save them so we can have more conversations throughout our lives.
Heck yeah.
I want to be able to have you on again sometime. Is that okay?
That'll be fine.
That's great. And enjoy doing Adam's show on Sunday. And
thanks.
Of course, Futurama is going to be on Wednesday on Comedy Central at 9/8 Central for everyone listening. Billy, thank you so much. And
my pleasure. Thank you.
Okay, then now for real, it's over. Okay, all right. That's a great interview. That's a great interview. Oh, I love how Chucky's holding the fake microphone. Like,
whoa, Chucky, what are you doing over there?
It's not plugged in. Then what's this all about?
Hey, you know, I want to throw this out here. How great was that interview?
Fantastic. I'm glad you enjoyed it, Mikey.
It was good. I love how he breaks out into the voices.
Some of my better work.
I mean, and he just kind of went into it. Well, you know, I don't think people realize what quality. I mean, that guy is one of the workhorses of the cartoons. I mean, Ren and Stimpy, so innovative. I just really an awesome, awesome guy.
You liked Ren and Stimpy?
Yeah.
You liked Ren and Stimpy.
Very enlightening. Oh, yeah.
Very
and
enlightening.
Doug, who did not? I grew up on Doug. I love the guy across the street in Doug that was like, oh, very expensive. You know, that guy, his neighbor, the old guy with the glasses. I think he might have been Jewish. I don't know. But he had that like motif to him.
That's very good. Oh, an motif. You mean a motif?
Whatever.
What's an motif?
It's kind of like jagoff. It's a Chicago word.
Oh, I thought it was like O teeth with an apostrophe, like no teeth. That's like slang in the South. I got O teeth. O teeth. Get it?
That's how
Chucky's like, what does that mean? What do you mean O teeth?
That doesn't work, Chucky.
Someone's going to have to share a mic with Chucky, or else Chucky's just going to keep talking into his Fisher-Price microphone.
Hey, just set him in the corner.
It doesn't plug in. I wonder if we could plug that in. No, oh, we could, but then we'd lose the people. And as we know, that's the number two thing on my priorities list, the people.
Yes, the entertainment people. Of mm-hmm. the people.
Oh, by the way, Lenny says he doesn't want to talk about Chicago as a second-rate city. He's well aware that it is, and he'd rather just not talk about it. That's exactly what he said, quote.
I'm just going to throw this out here. In the Cliff Notes version, the article stated some true facts, never supported how those facts actually make the city a second-rate city. They noted to the Europeization of the city, which there was 200,000 people that were moved out, which were all income housing folks, and they mentioned that there was a specific demographic that made 175,000 of those 200,000 people that were moved out. And so far, I can't figure out what they did had any effect to make this a second-rate city.
Okay. What the fuck did you just say? There's Charles.
Charles, I know every drink you have. You're
Chucky, didn't you send me that article like last week on my Facebook?
Yeah, he did. As a matter of fact, he did.
You know what we're talking about.
Yeah. All right, who let the kids? Who let the kids in here?
Someone gave him that loaded Bloody Mary.
No more sugar for you.
Chucky's got that big bobblehead from being
hey,
so thin.
Congratulations,
now.
We now lead the world in fucking murder. That's great.
I don't know if that's actually true.
I think that's true.
No, actually,
not the world, the United States. United States.
Lenny got right? really mad. He's like, no.
Yes,
no.
We do.
Detroit still works.
No, it's not. No,
actually,
it's not.
Actually, the most dangerous city in the world is Flint, Michigan. The second most dangerous city in the world.
No,
is Detroit,
I'm looking
Michigan.
This up because I
third,
think you're going off old statistics.
The third most dangerous city in the world is actually, or I should say, not the world, the United States is East St. Louis.
No.
Yeah.
No, but they're like the 90s.
Actually, I think you're all full of shit. I think St. Louis is number one.
No, Detroit, Flint, Michigan is number one. You got to do it by per capita.
Okay, well, that's what Forbes did, and I'm going to look it up, all right?
Flint was number one. It's got about 200,000 people, and I think
Springfield, Illinois ranks third.
What? No.
855 violent crimes per 100,000 per 100,000 residents.
You sure that's not Springfield, Missouri?
No, Springfield, Illinois.
It's all the greedy politicians fucking each other over.
Is it violent? Does it differentiate between violent crimes and crimes?
Not between violent crimes and murder, which is what you mean. America's most murderous cities, that's from 2007. That won't help.
There was a recent one that was done about the most dangerous cities in America. I forgot what the publication was, but look it up. I'm telling you. Chucky,
how's about Harlem? No?
No. But by the way, we do rank fifth in homicides in the world. The only people ahead of us are Russia, Venezuela, El Salvador, and Honduras.
Oh, like all four of us.
We are fifth in homicide. Oh, I could smell that burp over here. I smell that all the way down here, Charles.
Hey, all right, get back to the... Don't. I swear to God, Charles, I will hit you.
We're seriously up on homicides higher than we've been in the last 6 or 7 years, and blame your sister for the booze.
right, because you weren't drinking before you got here. So, anyway, I swear to God.
3 years ago, though, it was Miami, Florida, Atlanta, and Aurora, Illinois was third. that was 3 years ago by per capita.
Wait, is that Chicagoland or nationwide?
Per capita.
Is that nationwide?
Aurora, Illinois. The town of Aurora.
Yeah, I pick up on that, but was that nationwide?
Yeah, okay. Well, I said Miami and Atlanta. I think I think that clears that up for you, Mikey.
I didn't know.
Miami, Illinois, and Atlanta, Illinois.
All I heard was Aurora, Illinois was number three. I was like, so what? But yeah.
Yes. I just know we have a lot of murders going on in Chicago.
Yeah, but see, it's all centrally located in the one area of the city. It's not like it's rampant throughout everywhere.
That's not. I don't think that's true.
I think that is true.
I don't think
it is.
You've
got to be focused. It's
not true at all.
The majority.
I would bet that 90% of the violent crimes done in this, actually 95% of the violent crimes that happen in the city happen in one or two neighborhoods across the entire city.
South of Congress.
Yeah. I'm going to go with North Lawndale. I'm going to go with Inglewood, Roseland. and maybe West Garfield Park, but that's about it.
Stony Island.
I just looped that in with, you know, the South Side as a whole.
Yeah, just all together.
Rainbow Beach, you know.
All I know is when you guys were saying Detroit, that is a very old statistic.
No,
it hasn't been
not.
That way
it's,
in a
it's
long
very,
time.
It's a very current statistic. And actually, Flint, Michigan is worse than Detroit.
I don't know. All the current stuff I'm getting, it's not there.
Hold on. Give me that.
I am checking rates. Flint, Michigan is number one in this one. In this one. We've read three different ones, though. Answers.
You read three different ones from 5 years ago.
In 2011, Mikey.
Okay, the most recent
2012's
one.
2012's not done yet, pal. You can't do per capitas on half a year.
I need to use the internet.
Oh, Jesus.
Because your brother's looking up statistics.
According
to
MSNBC, in 2011, Flint, Michigan was number one. Detroit was number two.
But
three was St. Louis.
Were those the top
now, wait,
three
you
I
were
named?
Just... No,
and
now,
actually,
time out.
And
you were just ripping
them,
on me for
and,
reading this,
and
now
I
you're like, good, good,
in that exact order. And then, you know what's funny? That happens to be the one he's reading. It's from 2011, not 2007.
I said 2011, you mook.
I know you did.
You fucking mook.
You're proving my point exactly right now.
You're such a mook.
I'm not
mook.
A mook.
You're a mook.
You I'm sorry. Mook. You got outclassed. It happens.
I love how Mikey only agreed with me when it was statistics
that
matched his.
Compared to last year, we're up a lot.
Yes.
What changed in the last year that made more murders?
It's all Rom's fault. That
be honest, though, Chucky. Every weekend, isn't there an article about 40 people died on, Saturday?
There's an article, 29 shot, 10 dead.
Yes.
Every week.
Hold on. But see,
regardless
of what the city is, what they don't go into is how many of these people that were murdered actually don't really, you know, not all, but the majority of the people that got murdered, they probably had it coming, and they're not people who went around anyhow.
What Mikey's really saying is how many people got murdered don't really count.
Okay, now do you want to hear where Mikey only agrees with the facts that he knows? Philadelphia's own paper.
Hold on.
Philadelphia closed 2011 with the highest per capita murder rate in the U.S.
By the way, I actually do have. I found the 2012.
Oh Jesus.
2012 list here.
Oh please give it to me, Mikey. From where? First of all, state your source.
Yahoo.
Wikipedia. Yeah.
You're a fucking Yahoo.
Hold on. Yeah. Most dangerous cities in America, 2012. This is the FBI data.
The next closest is Chicago at 15.7%. 20.7% in Philadelphia. That's what this article says.
Okay, most dangerous cities in America on Yahoo as a source by the FBI. Let's see here. Read 10 most dangerous cities in America. America, fuck you.
No, that was sadly a Mikey.
Okay,
point.
So here's the top 10 in order. Number 10, Stockton, California. Number 9.
No, I read this list and it said Flint, Detroit. I read this exact list.
Oh, okay. So I'm right.
No, you're wrong. According to the 2011 CBS News, which says Philadelphia is closing out another year with homicides up again. On a per capita measurement, the city has the highest murder rate among big cities. The second is Chicago.
Are we talking about violent crimes or murders?
Murders!
Because this groups together violent crimes and murders, which are really more important because if you're number one for murder, but nobody's getting raped or robbed, then really what's the difference? Because if you're getting... Let's be realistic.
Hey, Andy, what's the difference between rape and murder?
I'm going to tell you...
Don't know.
No, I'm serious.
No
clue. I'm going to explain to you the difference right now. Most of the time with murder... Very rarely is it a complete freak accident. It's usually planned, or it's connected individuals, which is why they can solve murder cases. If I randomly walked out and shot somebody, it'd be very hard for them to figure out who did it.
So you know, Pat Tobias agrees with your list.
Of course he does.
Because he's a moron.
Because he's right.
He eats Pizza Hut,
and
so
do
listen
you. Here. Violent crimes, on the other hand, which are robberies, stick-ups, stabbings during a carjacking or rape, are usually completely at random, which is actually a more dangerous stat than murder.
You and Lenny go have a Pozzolo. Let me know how it goes.
I'll ask Pat what his favorite flavor
is. Let the adults go back to reading the
anyway,
real news.
Like I was saying.
Not Mikey's angel fire news.
Outclass.
Listen, so we have differing reports.
Wait, where are you going?
How about rape per capita?
I want your phone still. What are you putting?
Yeah, wait. What's the rape per capita, Mikey? Oh, Mikey just lost his
Google.
I'm going to
say Miami.
Google for brains just lost his weapon.
Just put it back in your thing, and now it's okay. Just keep it.
Did you say rape per capita?
Rape per capita. I'm going to say Miami.
No. I'm not going to just keep it. I'm not going to go through your shit. Just keep it.
Yeah, are we not counting my basement?
Get at it. Just keep it.
And they deserve it, right, Alex?
Oh, man. No,
that was Alex, not me.
The United States is somewhere in the middle on rape. They're a little more in the upper 75% on rape.
On rape.
Yeah, the United States comes in at 28.6% per capita of rape.
Because it's not reported in the Middle East.
The highest is 58.4 in Trinidad.
Trinidad.
And then 30.9 in New Zealand. Oh, no, wait. The highest is 91.6 in Lesotho.
Lazado, I'm going. Yeah, let's do this.
Okay, rape humor. That's real good. I'm glad.
Lazado.
Yeah.
So, you know what? You know what would be interesting? Let's look up a world
Jesus
city
Christ.
That has
Here
the highest
go.
Rate of pickpockets.
What?
Okay, I can do that. You want to know that?
Yeah, I'd like to find that out. I think it's going to be a European city.
No, in the United States. I'm talking about the United States.
Oh, okay.
It would have to be New York.
Cleveland, Ohio.
Really?
Yes.
Highest rate of pickpockets?
Yes, robbery.
We want pickpockets.
You want larceny
well,
theft?
Well, you know, supposedly they do steal. They do cheat.
Larceny theft? Larceny.
That makes sense. I know a lot of people who are from Cleveland, Ohio, and they want to get the hell out of there.
Misdemeanor theft is San Antonio, Texas.
That doesn't surprise me. There's a lot of crystal meth heads down there.
Second is...
i.e. a lot of Mexicans.
St. Louis.
That doesn't surprise me.
Did you just make a Mexican joke? According to this, murder, manslaughter, Louisiana's number one, then St. Louis, then Baltimore, then Detroit.
Now, here's a question that I have.
You want violent crimes, though? You want just violent crimes? That's Detroit,
well,
Michigan.
Well, yeah, but murder is...
It is. Chicago's a hellhole right now.
No, it's not.
I'm afraid to go out in the city late at night. I'm going to get shot at.
Yeah, right, because, you know, there's about...
Because according to you, Mike, it only happens on two blocks.
Yeah, well, Lenny, you're in the city more than any of us.
The large majority of it is concentrated in a certain...
It doesn't just happen in the backyards.
No, it doesn't just happen in the back of the yards or the west side areas. Like, in Ontario, Michigan, when the guy was shot. But it is concentrating these getting high-profile areas.
Okay, well, why don't you go do something about Batman? Get in your suit.
I do want to say, correcting...
Well, be a
know,
real
why
politician.
Why don't you be a little more supportive of your Chicago Police Department, unlike
I'd be more supportive of it if they... It's not the police department's fault, first of all. Yeah, and
No, what I'm saying is...
And by the way, maybe this is why they don't want conceal and carry in this state.
They are. I'm not joking around. The Chicago Police are undermanned.
Yeah, it's not about the police. It's not about the police. And by the way, maybe...
Oh, no, Lenny, I'm totally agreeing with you.
Chicago Police are significantly
undermanned. The Chicago Police Department is so undermanned.
You don't think this has anything to do with the conceal and carry, by the way?
All right, I got it, Terzo.
I support conceal and carry.
I'm not asking what you support. We've heard your little rants on it.
Crime in Chicago have gone down. Murders have gone up. But the other violent types of crime have gone down.
Here's the problem with your stat, man, is that what you're trying to do is you're trying to say, oh, everybody, please, don't go to Beverly Hills. Don't go to Brentwood, because I don't know if you looked at the crime statistics in Compton lately, but L.A. is so dangerous.
Yeah. Oh, who brought up L.A.? Who brought up L.A.?
There have been a lot of more
Nobody.
Bank robberies.
Here comes your
city.
L.A. bashing and about
what
nothing.
What the fuck is the difference between what I just said?
You know L.A. is not... You know damn well... We're going to go into overtime. You know damn well Los Angeles isn't as dangerous as Chicago. It's not. It's proven. They're not even close. Oh, Jesus. And by the way, Chicago wouldn't release their rape statistics. Wonder why. They're the only city that wouldn't release their rape statistics.
Because they got more important things to do. Like, find the rapists.
Oh, yeah? How's that going?
Murder rate? You really see that armed robbery and bank robberies are up around the city.
Robbery's really bad in Chicago.
Oh, yeah. No, bank robberies are really bad.
No, I'm reading it right now.
It's a recession.
Robbery.
Chicago.
But
Lenny, I totally agree with you. Chicago Police Department.
Chicago ranks near the top in property crime and robbery. and aggravated assault, they rank very high.
Well, because our property is actually worth damaging and stealing. I'm like,
no, it's not. No one gives a shit about Chicago property.
Look, enough to steal it.
Look, I love L.A.
Oh,
I
here we
Chicago.
Go. Here
Randy
we
Newman.
Go.
They're all very nice. Bring but you can't damn a whole city because of certain neighborhoods.
I'm not damning a whole city because of certain neighborhoods. People are getting shot in Lincoln Park.
That would be like saying...
People are getting shot in Lincoln Park.
That would be like saying that...
we're going into
overtime. You're
going
to damn an entire family because they got one bad apple.
No! What? There's more than one bad street in Chicago, you loony
tune. Yeah, there's like four neighborhoods that are bad in Chicago.
Oh, no, there's probably more than four.
Okay, there's a majority of the South Side, but not all the South Side. And then there's like
there's
one
like
or two...
four blocks by...
Wait, and what do they divide the city into? South, north, east, and west, right?
There's really
so you're
no,
saying
no,
the, one-fourth
Matt,
of the city's
Matt,
bad.
Matt, east,
the east is the lake.
Yeah, the east is the lake.
Well, right. So, okay, so you're saying one-third of the city's bad.
You know, unless he's going to be looking at fish on fish crimes.
If you're saying all of South Side's bad, you're saying one-third of the city's bad.
I'm not saying all of the South Side. I'm saying part, oh, yeah. Well, the majority of the South
Lenny's
Side.
Lenny's like,
area.
No.
Okay, I know what I'm talking I'm about. I used to go door-to-door selling new cable in these areas. Okay, right off the Skyway is not the best area. The majority, but the majority of the crime in the city is still localized to West Garfield Park, North Lawndale, Lonsdale, Pilsen, Roseland, and Inglewood.
And parts of the West Side.
I've named parts of the West Side.
Oh, yeah, I'm saying. It's parts of the South Side,
and
parts of the West Side.
Those make up probably 99% of the crime statistics in the city. And the problem that you have is that you don't hear about those crimes at all. All you hear about is when randomly you have a crime somewhere in Lincoln Park.
Yeah,
but
that's
the issue.
You will occasionally hear like two or three people killed on the South Side, but they will say it's gang related.
Right, you're right. But then when it's the one that happens on Michigan, Ontario,
but, right.
Lincoln Park,
like the guy that was
all of a sudden they bring out our murder statistics and. Like murders don't happen.
Yeah, there was a guy who had his throat slashed randomly on like Ohio Street or something like that. It's like they make a big deal
out of
that.
Like the guy that had his face randomly and off in Miami.
Yeah.
In South Beach, I think.
And also just to throw this out here, I think something else that these statistics don't tell is that how many of these crimes are committed on people who weren't exactly innocent. You know what I mean?
Right. No, some of this is gang-related violent activity.
Absolutely.
Stemming
right?
from a drug deal or... A previous murder, who knows?
I heard that it's been black-on-black murder since, like, last week is the first time a black-on-white murder has happened within city limits.
Probably this year. Probably this year was the first time that it was a black-on-white murder, probably.
No, I heard from the whole year, just last week is the first one whole year. Yeah, so.
I'm mapping the actual crimes.
Is Chuck's microphone even
okay.
plugged in?
Yeah, he's plugged in.
Okay.
Right?
I can hear you. All plugged in?
Adam, just so people know, is there just one part of the city that's covered in dark blue for murder? No, that'd be like around the whole city, right?
Oh, yeah, if you check the fact checker, it's all around.
Yes, I am checking the fact checker. This is what the city looks like murder-wise. The dark blue represents where there's the most murders per capita.
A lot on the northwest side.
And that's it.
And that's it?
No, there,
are
I mean,
you out
it's
of your
all
mind?
Over.
It's
there's
all
like,
over.
There's a section up towards the southeast side that there's none.
Looks like the south side's pretty good, according to that map.
Get your own computer.
Can I read that?
According to that map, the south side looks pretty good.
You mean neighborhoodscout.com, which uses the police statistics?
The police data, yeah.
No, get out of here. I got
to
run a show.
Is that like
for the record, everybody, he won't let me see the computer.
I won't let you see it because get your own. I'm doing a show here.
I can
here.
Second that.
Hey, how did Lenny get
boom.
How did Lenny get home last night?
You could second what?
I have no idea.
Right
I'm
did
here.
You, how much blue, how much dark blue
your
did you see on here?
Your sister makes the strongest freaking...
Okay, you know what's ranked number one?
Are, they're amazing.
Iron Street and 34th Street. Iron and 34th, that neighborhood, is number one.
That's west of, isn't it west of, Iron's west of Bridgeport.
Yeah, it is. That's one. Two, Warren Boulevard and Oakley. Three,
Oakley.
Morgan and 45th.
Yeah, no.
Route 50 and Archer. Pulaski and 36.
Or Cicero Avenue.
Okay.
Not the best neighborhood.
They're not all south side, though. They're not all far south.
Oh, no, there's some northwest side that is pretty bad, and obviously
west side.
Yeah.
Saugeen Ash is real bad.
Sauganash.
Pulaski Road and Foster's awful.
Yeah, wait, Sauganash and what?
Pulaski and Foster's awful.
Which is very upstate.
Oh, yeah, when you get...
That must be a lot of people murdering for, kill their husbands for the cash, though.
Route 14 and Route 50, awful.
So that's Cicero Avenue and Route 14.
Yeah, not the best neighborhood.
No, walking?
I mean, the bottom line is they need more Chicago police officers.
They do.
They yeah.
Sure
oh,
do.
Absolutely. Watson College of Commerce and Wacker Drive. Lake Street and Canal Street.
What? Wait.
This
Lake
is in the loop.
Yeah.
In the loop.
You know, now, what are the numbers, though? Like, that,
and what is
that per year or as of this
I have to order it. I don't want to order it.
Okay. So
I'm just going to the darkest cities. The darkest blue.
Wow, man.
It's ranked. It's rated
so
on color between dark
right.
and
Worst
light blue.
Where the best crime is.
Black and white.
There also has been a lot of robberies in the
Loop.
Blue
College and Route 41, really bad.
The
Loop? Okay. Loop College and Route 41 is really bad.
Do you even know what Route 41 is?
Yes, Lakeshore Drive,
okay.
Mikey. I'm not retarded.
What's Route College?
What?
What's Route College?
Loop College, I said.
So what's Loop College?
There's a place called Loop College. I don't know.
So you don't know where it is?
It's right outside of the Loop, Mikey.
You know anybody who graduated from the Loop College?
Roosevelt, Columbia, DePaul.
Yeah,
that's what he's talking about, I believe.
Oh, is that what he means?
I think
yeah.
just all the
I don't know what you mean.
All,
is that what you
like
mean? Where all the colleges
no,
are?
There's a concentrated dormitory, too. People
oh, yeah, no.
But, like, you definitely see, like, there are more
Monroe Street and
around the Red Line in that area.
Yeah.
I mean, there was,
right.
like, a big police
see,
case
Nikki
or something
knows.
That sold
Nikki
a couple
knows.
Of things on the Red Line and State Lake last week.
Here we go. Go ahead, Mikey. Have your say.
Can you look up these statistics for LA?
Well, probably. I don't know how though. I can search it.
Oh, now he doesn't know how to do it. He doesn't know how to look up.
I never said I don't know how to do it. By the way, crime index 100 is the safest. We have a 6.
According to who? What group is this though?
I think you just
we are safer than 6% of the cities in the United States according to crime statistics.
I don't think he knows what the fuck they're talking.
That's what it says.
All right.
Okay, what does that say right there, Lenny? Safer than 6% of the cities in the United States.
But it is green.
No, you're green doesn't mean anything. It's 6 out of 100.
I think
you
we
Momo.
Need to find more sources here.
I love how he goes. Green's good. Is that just what you think? Green's good should be in red.
Well, Matt, let me ask you a question. You spent a lot of time in Chicago. How many times have you gotten jumped or raped or robbed? Versus how many times
how
you
many
got jumped or raped or robbed in LA?
Wasn't our good.
If I remember correctly, you got robbed in your car in front of
well,
Drew Barrymore's
very,
house.
That's a very
I'm
dangerous
sure,
thing.
I'm
what
pretty sure she was in
what happened
nice
to
area.
Our good friend Vic Bomprezzi last year? Nice area?
Yeah.
Nice
no,
area?
Actually, that wasn't that nice.
Okay, where was it? He was on the south side, huh?
No,
was
he was on
Morgan and 34th?
14th.
Oh, he was on the north side,
he was
he?
On 14th.
Oh, he's on the Taylor? Side. He's in the Taylor area, Pilsen
no,
area.
14th and Halsted.
He was, yeah,
like it was 14th just east of Halsted. And I remember when I went there, some asshole went and like put out all the air in my tires, and I called AAA.
No, which is
I thought,
just an up and coming neighborhood.
Yeah,
now.
And I thought somebody slashed my tires. AAA came and they had to put
air
in all four
yeah.
of my tires. And I remember I was supposed to meet you guys at Richards, and I couldn't go. Because, yeah, but, like, it was, like, 14th, and it was just east of Halsted, probably, like, Oakley or something like that. I don't remember the exact street.
With a crime rate of 55 per 1,000 residents.
At the same time, if you live in an urban environment, you should be a little more aware of your surroundings.
Now, here's another thing I'd say.
Why are you walking down that dark alley?
We can sit here and bitch, moan, and whine, and cry all night, but what's your overall goal? What are you trying to accomplish by this?
Are
you trying to say Chicago?
Well, I think
the whole point of this conversation is Chicago's getting more and more dangerous. It is.
Oh,
fact.
Definitely.
Fact.
Absolutely.
And thus the...
Fact.
So to counter that... Okay, so
thank you. How are you going to counter it?
So,
that's what
so
I'm saying.
To a solution. You need additional police on the streets.
Isn't Rom supposed to be hiring more police officers? Isn't that what he says?
I don't know.
He says it all the time.
I've never been an advocate around
when
that
he
anymore.
Stumps it. When he stumps, he says it all the time.
Yeah, but even that, what else are you going to do?
Start shooting back.
Start. Yeah.
Do you think conceal and carry is going to help in Chicago? Maybe outside of Chicago.
Carry, no, conceal
maybe
carry
outside
in
of Chicago, but in Chicago is it going to help?
What we do know is the bad guys have the guns.
Yeah,
we know.
I think concealed and carry would help out immensely. I think there's a good portion of the public.
Why?
I think there's
why?
A good portion
because now you think twice.
Because you know what? When a criminal knows, when a criminal.
I already think twice.
You have to understand.
Level the playing field,
right?
You're right.
The thought process here. When a criminal who's already going to have a gun. The criminals are already going to have guns. They have guns now, they're going to have guns there. When a criminal already has the gun, when he's going to go to rob somebody, if he has to have that thought in the back of his mind that, you know what, this guy might have a gun and he might shoot my ass too, it's going to make him think twice about going out and doing that. Because I'll tell you right now, if I got a gun and somebody robs him, they can take all my money, and as soon as they turn around, they're getting right one in the
back.
Do
you think those guys are going to care?
Yeah, I think they're going
to.
I do.
I don't.
Well, then counter that, once the first few start showing up dead, then they're going to.
If you look at some of the cities,
what about when the first few white guys start showing up?
If you look at some of the cities that have, they're allowed to have guns.
First of all, New York has concealed carry. California has concealed carry, and I haven't seen major outbreaks of crime because of their concealed carry.
Sure.
Major urban areas.
California, you want to look at that? The bad guy. If you outlaw all handguns, the bad guys will still. The gangbangers will still be able to get guns.
I gotta go.
Where are you going?
I gotta go.
See, most people work for a living.
Why do you gotta go?
Because I got people I gotta go see tonight.
Oh, yeah? Most people work for a living, Lenny? Continue. Continue your little story.
Most people work for a living.
Yeah.
But he's going to go hang out with people.
No, I got people.
So what does that have to do with your
fucking work?
I got shit I gotta do because I gotta be at work tomorrow morning.
At what time?
And I got a fucking hour driving.
What time are you getting up?
Nikki, I'll see you later.
Oh, yeah, Matt. Yeah, what
I'll see you later,
Nikki. How many hours of work do you week you work?
Time are you getting up tomorrow?
Because you know what time I'm getting up tomorrow?
Because I see your Facebook post at 4 a.m.
Yeah,
that's when I wake
up. At 7 a.m. tomorrow.
You're waking
when
up
I
at
wake
4 a.m.
That's when I wake up.
You're beating me.
You know what, pal?
I think I start getting up earlier.
It's not when you go to. You know what? It's not when you go to sleep and when you wake up. It's how much time you spend sleeping.
Now hold on. I'd like the floor here. I just want to say before I leave, for our lovely listeners here, okay, that one of the wonderful, most wonderful things is we can sit here and have arguments like this all night long, but in the end, we still love each other.
But go ahead,
Chicago's still the greatest city.
Yeah,
in the
fuck
world.
Yeah, give me a high five on that one.
All right.
Definitely.
And we'll all still go to Richard's on Saturday and get drunk with each other.
Yeah, it's true.
Yes,
talk to me.
I kind of like the Chuck.
Now that you're ditching me, I wanted to watch Breaking Bad.
Chuck is more fun. I wanted to watch Breaking Bad with you at midnight.
Sober Chuck, who hates his job, not fun.
No, drunk Chuck is more fun than sober fun, is he not, Matt?
Oh, yeah. Because I hate my
job. Drunk Chuck had a cigarette.
Has drunk Chuck had any pussy lately?
No.
No? Wait, that didn't look like no. That you were smiling. I'll see you tomorrow.
No, the
bye,
last
Nikki.
Time.
Yeah, I'm watching Breaking
the
Bad.
The last
midnight.
Time drunk or sober Chuck got laid was
reruns
in Vegas.
On AMC. Oh, with that. That's your last story?
Yeah, with the chick that I have no idea how old
you
was.
Haven't gotten laid in a long
I've
time.
Like a couple of blowjobs.
No. Oh, from where? Continue. Blowies. Go.
Chick I met at English.
Trailer park.
Chick I met at exit blew me and my ma's minivan.
wait,
was that the night you disappeared from someone?
With Melissa? Wait, was Melissa blowing you in a
no.
minivan?
No.
Oh, I thought you went to exit with her.
I did go to exit with Melissa and her friend with an amazing ass.
Oh, I remember that friend. That's after I left you guys at Richard.
Yes. Thanks, by the way.
Oh, by the way, Pat Tobias just sent me this. Last thing I'll say about this. City officials fight back as murder rate outstrips New York, L.A., and even Kabul.
So how are they
Chicago.
Fighting back?
Kabul.
Uh-huh.
So we're worse than
back?
Third world countries. That's
so
great.
Fighting back. We're fighting
Chicago
back.
Chicago announced it will allow police in the cash-strapped city to work overtime at time and a half a pay in order to put more officers on the street. That's all they're doing right
so
now.
So you do
stop
see the problem.
Refill.
The problem wasn't what me and Chuck said.
But by the way, they're worse in L.A. Mm.
Let's arm the L train drivers.
Mr. L.A. ain't that safe.
Yeah. You know, L.A.'s a big area, very sprawled out. I don't think those numbers are including certain areas.
You are a politician. You got an excuse for everything.
Really? Giuliani and Bloomberg did a... They
cracked down. No, they cracked down.
Oh, yeah. And Mayor Villagrosa. Leany.
Yeah. Who the fuck is that?
Tony Villar.
Yeah, Mayor Villagrosa.
Chicago has really gotten bad within the last, like...
Yes, by the way, don't rip on Villagrosa on my show. He gets very
months.
Good tables at Mr. Chow.
Yeah, we had kind of a lull for a while, and then it's gotten worse again. But back in the 90s, the murder rate was up towards 900, 1,000 per year.
Yeah. Chucky back to Blowies in your mom's minivan.
Yeah, how was that?
It was at exit.
Wait. When
how
did
does
when
this
you
happen,
brought the chick
though?
Back to the minivan?
Yeah, what was she, what did she say? What was her face?
I think I told her, I'm like, my car's in the shop.
Did you at least have one of those Travolta minivans from Get Shorty where you can open the side door
with the Cadillac minivan?
Yeah, did you have the Cadillac minivan?
Definitely not.
Oh, man.
As for a Cadillac. It's a Cadillac minivan.
It was, I definitely went to exit, like, I was out with a couple of my buddies. They were like, we're going in. And I'm like, I don't want to go in. So I was, like, trying to think of, like, late night places, and it was either Exit or Big City Tap. So I'm like, I'm going to Exit because they got cool music. I went there, started talking to some chick, went back to my ma's soccer minivan, and got a blowjob, and it was amazing. And then when she was walking out of the minivan, she kind of fell and hit her head on the ground.
Did you help her?
That was actually
the Rouhypnol wearing off.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about, Adam. And I've never done that at all. But yeah.
So in the minivan, now how does this work in the minivan? Front seats, back seats?
Oh, no. We definitely got in the one side of the back seat.
You reclined the
sliding door, got in there, closed the door, locked it, went to the back where it was like a little bit of a bench.
I'm trying to remember if I got blowy in the minivan.
I licked my fingers, started fingering that chick. I just went,
Oh,
and they,
Andy,
seriously,
of
the important
the
part,
and stopping up
for
the
all
juice,
you 14 or 16-year-old boys out there, the important part, just remember bowling.
Chuck, have you
two
ever...
Two fingers, the G-spot, thumb goes
against,
to the clit.
The front wall.
And
that
Chuck,
is
and
how
Chuck
you make
wears a wrist
squirt.
Guard when he does it,
oh.
too.
Oh,
he wears
yeah.
a wrist guard.
Yeah. I've been doing it wrong. My bowling ball just has a fist hole in it.
Hey, by the way, Charles, have you ever sopped up the juice with country-style biscuits? I don't know what that means,
but probably.
We were talking on Andy's show about R. Kelly and his lyrics.
No, but I'm definitely
using
serious.
Biscuits
just
to
remember
sop up the
bowling
juice.
Hands. Two fingers, go for the G-spot, your thumb.
So if, ladies, if you see Chuck
definitely
Salvatore, if you see Charles on the street.
Done it a few times.
If you see Charles on the street and he's wearing a bowling shirt, he's not going to New Vision. He's not going to Brunswick. He's going to the back of his mom's minivan.
And you're going with.
Wow. I'm just going to make a white Russian and, like, chill out like the dude and finger fuck you.
He met a white Russian.
Yeah. Go with big bowling hands. Two fingers for the G-spot, thumb for the clit. Make him squirt. Matt, remember the Cougar convention you went with me to, and you left recklessly with Jimmy
the
Hat. Oh,
the Cougar convention.
Oh, Lenny was there too.
I wasn't at the Cougar convention.
I thought you did.
You went. I thought we went to Gibson's.
No, he's just
there. Yeah,
oh, no,
no. I totally thought you were there.
No, that was an option.
Oh yeah, we randomly ran into Option.
Yeah,
very. I never can pronounce.
You've
that
never got his name right one time.
Asshole's name right. But like
Option. You used to call him Ashton, I think.
Ashton Kutcher.
Ashwin. All right. Hey, if you're listening, you know, whatever.
So,
but anyways, but like, that night totally was doing.
By
the
way,
I
posted on Chuck's Facebook wall, and I know your sister's friends with you on the book.
Oh,
Chuck
God.
Is telling great stories about getting blowies in his mom's minivan in overtime. Tune in.
I hope
you're gonna hear about that in the morning.
I hope my sister doesn't show my mom.
Your mom's gonna start putting
Chuck in my car.
No, he's gonna know they know
can
when
I
she
tell
puts
you
plastic
the really
covers
funny
on
part about the, like the night after that I got the blowjob in my mom's minivan. My mom goes, "Did you leave something in my car?" And I'm, I'm panicking and I'm freaking out and I'm like,
because I got this cum in my hand
and I'm like, I don't know, did you? And she's like. She's like, I don't know. You tell me. Did you leave something in my car? And I'm
Charles, buddy, and there's out. Something about Mary going.
And I'm like,
there.
I don't know.
Hanging from the ceiling.
My mom hands me a $5 bill, and she goes, "This was laying on the ground." And I'm like, "Oh,
you forgot to pay the hooker.
Forgot to give it to her.
Yeah, you forgot to pay the prostitute."
Oh Who's in that, like, back street behind exit? Adam knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it's awkward, though, if you ever cheat on a wife or a girlfriend and you take the girl in the car.
Wait, you would know this?
She sheds, though.
You would know this?
She sheds,
yeah. It's kind of awkward when they have, like... When,
how many times you've been
when
married?
You're dating a brunette, though.
Oh, okay. You
and all of a sudden
this.
They find blonde fucking streaks of hair. Or a fucking earring. An earring fucking smaller than an Adam, but the bitch finds it? Are you serious? Yeah. It's like they...
There's a cell phone here.
It's Columbo all of a sudden,
just
yeah.
Got a face.
Oh, that's Steffi's cell phone. Why'd she leave it down here? What is that?
I don't know. So anybody know the password?
Uh-oh.
So Terzo can Google. So Google for Google brains.
So you can get off your GeoCities. Yeah.
Angel Fire. Tripod.
Are those sites still around, GeoCities?
You want to check? Let's check.
Yeah, those were kind of weird sites.
Well, it was very...
Like anyone could create their own.
Remember, you could create a website at AOL. It's not Yahoo GeoCities.
The funny part is, after this chick gave me an amazing blowjob, she fell and slipped when she was getting out of the van.
It's still around.
She slipped on your jizz?
On a tree that was on the street.
Wait, she slipped and hit her head on a tree after she blew you?
Yeah.
You didn't do anything to this poor girl, did you?
What?
You didn't do anything to this poor girl, did you?
No.
Oh.
I, like, literally walked into exit to go to the bathroom.
I want to know what neighborhood this is in that there was trees.
We hear...
Did
you leave her with a cab fare?
No, the street behind there.
Oh, okay, maybe.
The street behind
with, yeah, all these trees.
You mean by the river?
Down by the river.
You know, next week I think I'm going to have my girlfriend Gina Belafonte on, and that's Harry Belafonte's daughter. And I don't think we can talk like this when she's on.
I talked like this to Andy Garcia's daughter, that's and apparently true. Andy Garcia heard me.
I'm friends with everyone's daughter. That's my new thing.
Creep.
Creep? Dina Martin's like 60. How's that creepy?
So you're the
Gina's
you're
like
the
42,
zone,
43. No, I think with Gina, I'm not in the friend zone.
Permanent friend zone.
No, I don't think
friend
so
zone.
With Gina.
So you're in the not even friend zone?
I'm going to ask her next week. No, I'm in the friend zone.
With who?
Gina Belafonte. Oh. Harry's daughter.
You're going to ask her what? To go steady?
Jump in the line.
Come on.
Okay.
I believe that.
And then don't forget your favorite. Thank you.
Me say Dale.
Daylight, come on, you want to go home.
Talking about Beetlejuice, right?
Yeah.
That was a great movie. A
lot of Harry Belafonte.
Well, I went to Juilliard. Graduated.
Oh.
Black Plague. Seen The Exorcist over 3,000 times, and it gets funnier.
It's funnier, funnier. It's fucking time. Nice fucking model. So, Charles, that was the only time since Vegas, Bowie in the minivan.
Chuck has not been to Vegas with us.
No.
No.
He refuses to go.
No.
Don't lie.
That. You
don't
guys
lie.
Don't
We've invited
me.
You. No.
Don't
Time
tell
out.
You. I practically am out.
We've invited you numerous times. You go. I don't have any days off.
No.
I already am going. I'm going to blah, blah,
wait,
blah.
Wait, no. Seriously, the last time you told me about it, I was going for...
Because you haven't come to L.A.
No.
We do the L.A. Vegas combo.
I was going for Jay's wedding.
Yeah,
and I
October.
Already booked 4 days. And then after that, I only had one vacation day left.
Adam,
so I couldn't go.
Yeah. Chuck, you don't have to hold the mic like a rapper.
Hey, you know what, Adam? Go fuck yourself. And do we think this is a wrap for the evening?
Oh, are we done? I
thought, we're rapping.
I thought we were talking about Chucky and his beat.
We're rapping, literally.
Wait. I want to hear why rapping. Chucky... No, before we wrap, though, I want to clear this up. I just don't think Chucky wants to go to Vegas with you and I.
No!
I don't think
he hates strip clubs.
I
think
would love
you
know to
I
go
think
to Vegas with
Caesar,
the two.
I think you and Caesar should go on your own trip to Vegas.
No, that's not going to happen.
With Alex.
That's not going to happen.
Oh, I'll go to Vegas with Alex.
No, because
I'm not
going
to
deal with him getting lost and...
Okay, I just I gotta be honest. I don't think people can hang with Lenny and I in Vegas.
No, I would love to go to hang with you.
And I love Carmi, but Carmi gets so hammered. I don't even think Carmi can hang with Lenny because Lenny and I are out to like 7.
Matt, you
can't
let have this conversation. I went.
The only reason, Matt, that you're out till 7 is you're not drinking.
But I'm still bringing the fun.
But the fact is, yeah, don't like keep up with
me. And you had this conversation. I went to Vegas I think 2 or 3 weeks before you did for a friend's wedding.
Right, and you.
And
oh, by the way, you said Lenny and I could not go with you that weekend.
No,
you didn't want to go into the
wedding.
Because
you two are like Oh, we're going to the wedding. We're going to crash the fucking party. We're eating all the food. We're drinking all the booze. We're going to fuck all the broads.
I'm
like, you two don't know.
Hey, I'm going to Vegas August 23rd to 26th. Come.
I got things to do.
What are you doing?
We're working on...
Drive over.
Hey, are we not working on some things?
Yeah, we're working
don't
on things.
Talk about it on the air.
I actually want to...
Alex? I think I can smell it out here.
Luisi, what the fuck?
Nah, is it that bad?
I'm sorry, Mikey, for blaming you. With you in like September, October.
See, you got to travel with Lenny and I. We do it right.
I would hang out with Vegas.
No, but
last
I just wanted Lenny to comment to you, though, about the strip club thing.
The last time you guys went to Vegas, I came back to Chicago like a week
Okay, but let's be honest. You won't go to a strip club, Lenny and I.
No.
And you hate the hookers.
I don't like strip clubs.
And you hate hookers.
Tried to
staple me. I thought he was asking for marriage.
All right, we're going to end it here.
Like
Randy Dare, Andy, hey, promote your show.
AndyDareShow.com. We cut up, you know.
Drew Peterson.
I like these guys. They're cut ups. Thanks for having me in the basement.
Yeah, you have a good time?
Yeah, definitely. Have you back sometime?
You can't leave, by the way.
Can't leave. Because Alex, that's actually gas that's going to knock you out.
Yeah, until
Charles,
before that hits me, I got to get going.
Blogspot.com.
What kind of diet
you have a blog?
I do.
I never see it. You never post it. You got to promote it.
I was doing that for like
You know Chucky
ago,
has
and
a blog?
And I'm starting to do it again.
Ellis,
did you know Chucky had a blog? Wait, did you see that Sorkinisms thing, though?
No.
News? Okay, don't get
Did you see Sorkinisms?
You know I did because you commented on my Facebook.
Week.
That was great.
By the
way, I'm going to send it to Lenny. We'll comment that next week. Next week, I know for sure Gina Belafonte. I don't know who else. I think we're going to record it Monday or... I know, I'm coughing. Real quick. Lenny, what day works next week? Because we can't do Wednesday, July 4th. Monday, Tuesday, Monday. We will be doing a show Monday night.
Oh, I can't come.
Let's say Billy West.
Oh, no, I can't. I don't have
it's July 2nd. Okay, and thank you to Billy West. Thank you, yes. And we will see you Monday.
Adios, Chicago.